Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
The creative process of stuff, and I have to go back and learn the words to the songs, even though I wrote them and sang them and recorded them, and I have to go back and learn my guitar parts, even though I wrote them and played them.
Well, you know, that's part of the process.
It is, for sure.
Relearning. Well, guys, you know, it was great to see you, and all the best. The album turned out great, by the way.
Thank you.
And that's the world premiere of the brand new album from Stain, The Illusion of Progress. Don't forget, it's in stores August 19th and also available online. For Stained, I'm Matt Pinfield. Take care and have a great night. Now.
Welcome to the award-winning Night Call, the Riff's phone-in talk show on 101 WRIF Detroit. Our number, 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome. Welcome to Jalene Jordan, too. Hi, Jalene.
Peter, hello.
We haven't been sitting in these chairs in a couple of weeks, have we?
I know, yes. I've missed sitting in this chair.
Yeah. You know, if you're doing a daily show like we've done, you can take a night off or a day off. It's okay. This way, 2 weeks.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks here in our own city of Detroit, around the country, and around the world.
Yeah, we should say thank you to Art Volo and Mike Osterman for sitting in for us last week.
Thank you so much.
I heard the podcast. You said you didn't get a chance.
I didn't get a chance. I've just been too busy.
Everything you ever wanted to know about radio, plus.
There it was, huh?
Yeah, but thanks, guys.
Right on.
We appreciated it. So here, and I know many of you are listening around the country, even around the world, but here in Detroit, we had a lot of big things this weekend, but the biggest big was what they call the Woodward Avenue Dream Cruise. If you're in the Detroit area, you know exactly what that was. If you're somewhere else, you probably don't, but it's this big classic car parade.
Yes. It's huge. It brings in like at least 60 million to the city. About a million people.
Dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, not people.
Revenue. And then it brings in, I mean, I've heard something about a million people coming in from out of state and from around the world even.
And you broadcast live from on Woodward Avenue, right?
I did. I was right in the heart of it all. And it was great and everything until the abortion bus drove by.
What?
It's the abortion bus. Have you never seen it, Peter?
No. What do you mean?
It's horrible.
Is it pro or against?
It's completely against, and they have giant pictures of, you know, fetuses, and it's so disturbing. I can't even tell you. I almost couldn't go on. Fortunately, I'm professional.
Well, let me ask you. the whole thing with the Dream Cruise here in Detroit is that it's custom cars or classic cars restored or maintained.
Not abortion buses.
No, so they didn't have, like, it wasn't a class. It wasn't like a 48 Plymouth
station. No, but it was a big old bus.
Yeah. But an old bus or a new bus?
It was like an old ratty bus.
Well, okay. Then they're at least in that end of the spirit of things.
Yeah. Well, their other spirit is mean-spirited. It was so gross. Really, and I'm with a bunch of the staff, and we're sitting there, and someone yells, "Oh, no, the abortion bus is here." And I thought, oh, no.
I thought those people had gone away.
They have not gone away. They have a giant bus right here in Detroit.
I've got the greatest tactic in the world for people that oppose abortion on any grounds, whether it's religious or ethical or medical. Don't have one.
Right, exactly. Right? Don't have one.
Yeah.
It's good advice.
But, you know, folks, there's people that don't share your view of biology or theology, and yet you want to have the political state bring, in other words, cops, enforce your view of theology and biology. In other
Absolutely.
Words, where Yeah. Barack Obama, did you see that? I mean, what happened to that idea that the Constitution says that there should be no religious test? And again, there's John McShane and Barack Obama being questioned by this preacher.
Oh, I don't think I... Oh, wait, on TV, you
mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I really tried to miss that one. What happened?
They asked Obama. I actually don't have this in front of me, so anybody want to help us? Hey, by the way, folks, I forget that we're just so excited to be back. I didn't even tell everybody all the particulars. This is the Night Call Show. I'm Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan is with me, as always. And you can call in and make your opinion known. 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
And for the bashful, and when the phones are filled, call talkyes at yahoo.com. Call talkyes at yahoo.com. Please, don't send me 5 emails a day.
Right.
Particularly, don't send me the lead stories, that are on every newscast. People do this.
You read all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we appreciate their enthusiasm.
We do.
Right?
We do.
And I have to say, after 10 years of broadcasting together, Peter, almost 11, well, I mean, being a duo and then broadcasting together for the last however many years, for a while
it's
now.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I finally have a computer in front of me. So I am checking emails during the show.
That's great. One of the things that happened, though, the only thing that I disliked about the Dream Cruise, and it happens every single year, they close it down, what, at 9?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, and then they started the police of all the different suburbs out Woodward started closing down Woodward, but they started closing down all these other streets. I was in...
You are so stuck.
Yeah, I was in Royal Oak, and I had to get to the west side of Woodward. It took me 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went, there was a roadblock. And what the hell? I mean, are they afraid that we're going to riot or something like that? Maybe they could, like, do this, give a little bit of leeway next year, and then if everybody's real good and doesn't riot, then they could, ease off a little.
There was no leeway. In fact, Friday night I went to see Steely Dan. Yeah, great show. Came home, on 696, for anyone who lives around here knows that. They had the exits.
Sure.
Blocked off. We had to go clear down and then come back around.
Right.
It took forever.
You could not get off at Woodward. You could not get off at Coolidge.
Right.
Even.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, actually, that was on Friday night.
That's right.
Friday night. Saturday night was the night of the Dream Cruise. And I figured I'm going to completely skirt it. And we were going to go out to Corton Lake because there's a full moon. There was a full moon Saturday night. Beautiful moon. And the Birmingham cops had, Greenfield blocked off, so you couldn't even get into Birmingham. So, hey, I know there's a lot of police officers listening. What is up with that? What's the plan?
Please explain.
Well, I know most of you guys that are listening, you're just patrol. I'm sorry, not just.
But you're doing patrol. What you're told.
Yes,
you're
but
doing
any
your beat.
Idea? And the other thing I heard tonight, there's a 2-hour backup going into Canada on the Blue Water Bridge between Mount Clemens and Sarnia. So I always wonder, what happens? Sometimes you just speed right through customs on both sides, usually Canadian. Then you come back, and I know a lot of custom agents, because I go to Canada a lot, you'd say, oh, hey, I listen to your show. So what's up with that? Why sometimes do you just get right through, and other times it's like hour and a half backup? I mean, is there alerts, or is this, like national security, you can't tell us? The other thing is, like, we have been talking for 5 or 6 minutes now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if there's 10 cars in line, sometimes it's taken like 45 or 50 minutes. I mean, they're talking to every car for five minutes, which is a very long time. And so, like, when my wife and I and our dog, we go across, they say,
you two are so suspect.
Well, yeah, but they say, citizen of what country? We hand them our passports. We give them the dog's papers. Hey, how long have you been in Canada? I didn't declare. Now, goodbye. So we're there for under probably about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
What are they talking about to everybody else? What bad answers are these people giving?
That's a good question.
It used to be, if you were the slightest bit suspicious, they would send you over to the house.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would give you the, third, fourth, and fifth degree.
Right. I remember as a kid going to Mexico with my grandfather driving, and he would get so nervous. He would yell at all of us, don't say a word or anything like that. And now that the statute of limitations is up, I can say that I smuggled a knife back from Mexico.
I thought you were going to say something
else. If my grandpa knew that, he would be rolling in his grave.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't get it. But as you said, lots of stuff going on. And it is time, ladies and gentlemen, to play
Don't Get Fooled again.
Or we could call it How Dumb Do They Think We Are? Or the other, the corollary, How Dumb Are You? That's right. Another big week of massive lies from the rulers, and this time about everything that's happening in... I'm hesitating here because, I don't know, maybe nobody bought it.
Which part?
This whole...
Russia, Georgia thing?
Yeah, this resurgence of the evil empire. Now, there's a couple of things. Let me get this. Oh, did I put my... I didn't put my website up. Damn it. Because what it says, it quotes John McCain saying, in the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations.
What?
And they had all these quotes. In fact, I saw a clip on the internet. If you go to BuzzFlash.com, there is our pal John Stewart. And he's talking, and he's got shots of both Bush and Condoleezza Rice. Oh, yeah, here it is. Senator John McCain on the conflict in Georgia. In the 21st century, nations don't invade other nations. And I wrote under that. Can anyone remind this jerk about Iraq?
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
That big sore thumb. What did John Stewart say?
Well, he just gave those looks. He, you know, kind of would say. But this is very dangerous. This is very, very dangerous. The military-industrial complex, led by war criminals like that, remain at the head of our government rather than being at The Hague on trial with the rest of these guys that make war and have committed awful crimes, being there, or at least in the well of Congress being impeached, they're bound and determined to return us to the days when all of our lives were at threat and at risk. Or at threat? I guess that works too. But
under threat?
Under threat, yeah. And what you need is an enemy, because you can't have a military-industrial complex if everybody wants to be friends. Now, empires always clash, and they have throughout the last 300, 400, 500, 600 years, maybe, even. But we always think we've learned a little something. But one thing that we do know is that countries are very, very nervous about what kind of influence other countries have, both inside of their own country and certainly on their periphery, on their borders. Now, I don't have this in front of me either, but let me see how the memory is working. I think it was in 1823. Or is that too late? But anyways, President James Madison, and this is, you know, remember you were in high school, civics and political science, maybe in college, and you're just thinking about your girlfriend, or how you get out of school and get a beer or whatever. And they were talking about the Monroe Doctrine, and you're going, yeah, Monroe Doctrine. Well, think about that. The United States enunciated a policy that European nations could not muck around in the Americas. They said that they would take, that the United States would take any interference in American, North American, Central American, and South American affairs as tantamount to aggression. Is that that a couple of things? I mean, first, the United States did not want to be drawn into European conflicts, and didn't, of course, until really the 20th century. But also that it was concerned about security, because if other nations, particularly competing empires, begin to control land masses on your borders, well, you know, it's not very good for that country. Now, you say, I mean, I have no brief for Russia, certainly none for the you know, the authority. Authoritarian Soviet Union that passed quite a few years ago now. But you got to remember that Russia's paranoia about the West is not based on nothing. They were invaded and massively took massive casualties and had the country destroyed like three times in the last 150 years. If you think about Napoleon's invasion and the Germans twice in the 20th century. So the idea that another Western country, particularly one thousands and thousands of miles away, would start sending troops into a region that was once part of this union and supporting a government that is hostile to them. I mean, you got to be kidding that you would think that that country, in this case Russia, wouldn't really respond. I'm going to talk some about this, but go to my site, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com. And there's a number of articles. The neocons do Georgia, President Bush, will you please shut up? How the U.S. invited a war in South Ossetia and Georgia war, a neocon election ploy. Because you got to remember that, or if you may not know, is that that one of John McShane's main lobbyists is was a paid lobbyist for the Georgian government.
Right.
So would they be that evil? Would they be that crass?
I think so. Well, this guy got $800,000 from the Treasury of Georgia in payment for this lobbying project. And
I like slobbering project.
49 meetings that McCain had with Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's also connected. McCain is pushing for them to become a part of NATO. Right?
Right. And this is insane that
because that
NATO,
means we would be at war with Russia right now.
Well, yeah, we would have, they would see a hostile military alliance. North Atlantic? How does Georgia and Ukraine get in North Atlantic?
Yeah.
This is nothing other than the United States trying to surround the Soviet, the Russia. Sorry, no more Soviet Union, or fortunately.
Right.
But here, I was looking just in this. U.S. worries Russia returning to its past.
That's because we're pushing them that direction. I mean, we are really just, as we do, poking the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
Right. And it's really unfortunate because everything I've read, I've really tried to, really understand this. And everything I've read is this is a chance for us to maybe do the right thing with Russia and work on a little more intelligent level with these people.
Well, let's stop the we here.
Oh, you know, true. They. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the correction.
But some of these headlines, Bush tells Russia to get out of Georgia. Bush accuses Russia of bullying and intimidation. And there's just tons and tons of headlines like that. Now, why in the world, let me put it another way, how would we react if these headlines says Putin or Medvedev tells the U.S. get out of Iraq?
Right.
Medvedev or Putin accuses the U.S. of bullying and intimidation. And you got to remember that Iraq and Afghanistan are incredibly close. Is Afghanistan on the border of Russia?
John McCain doesn't know where it is.
Well, good. I mean, I'm not going to be president either.
He doesn't know the difference. He didn't know the difference between a Sunni and a Shiite either.
Yeah, right. But I'm just trying to think.
This brain surgeon they're trying to elect.
Yeah, but anyway, we're essentially in their bailiwick. The United States, I mean, we take it for granted that the United States can have a presence all across the world. And no one thinks that in the slightest bit of about that. But if Russia enters this country now, I mean, how did it start? I mean, here, this is from MSNBC, from that U.S. worries Russia returning to its past. Fighting broke out after Georgia launched a massive barrage August 7th to try to take control of the separatist province of South Ossetia. The Russian army quickly overwhelmed Georgia's forces and drove deep into the country, raising fears that of a long-term Russian occupation. Now, the South Ossetia has much, much more in common with Russia than it certainly does with the Georgian. They've been governing themselves autonomously since the 90s. They have a different currency. They have a different language. And, solving things by force of arms doesn't work. But who in the hell started it? I mean, this was, the thought is that the last time Condoleezza Rice was there, that she kind of gave him the go-ahead the way who was it? Remember back in Iraq in 1990 when Saddam told the ambassador, I can't think of her name now, the ambassador to Iraq, that he was, that he had ideas to go into Kuwait, and that ambassador said, it's no concern of ours, do what you want.
Well, and with all these meetings, these at least 15 meetings with McCain, people seriously believe, and I'm starting to believe, I tend to believe, that, that he has some power over this, the leader of Georgia, Mikhail, how do you say it, Saakashvili?
Yeah, that'll do. It's easy for you to say. If I can hold.
Well, and Georgia is the supposed democracy, but this leader is not running things as a democracy.
No, it's not a very democratic
country. He's been slowly changing everything that is very, very, yeah, not democratic at all.
Well, remember that last time we were on, there was an article in the New York Times, a little short thing. It says President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela said his country would be willing to host Russian bases there. What do you think the reaction of the United States would be there was going to be a base from Russia in Venezuela?
Right.
They would probably be willing to go to war.
Well, and probably the same reaction that Russia is having to us putting this base or this agreement with Poland. I mean, this is a mess.
This is now bringing us back to the brink of nuclear war. Yeah. And there's a lot of wars that have started, like World War I, that no one intended it to occur in that manner. This, of course, now that Poland's agreement to take part in this so-called anti-missile shield that the Czech Republic and now Poland have signed on to, which is supposed to be against, quote, rogue nations like Iran, in case, you know, Iran was going to somehow nuke the Czech Republic for why they would do that. I mean, it's nonsense. The Soviet Union solely and probably correctly, I'm going to take away probably, correctly sees it as aimed against them.
Yes, they do.
So Bush has returned us to the 1950s.
Thank you, George Bush.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And here, the proposal made amid, and it's worse, too. The proposal, let me see, I guess it's in the headline. Ukraine offers a satellite defense cooperation with Europe and the U.S. Ukraine inflamed mounting east-west tensions yesterday by offering up a Soviet-built satellite facility as part of the European missile defense system. Well, you know, Russia, well, let's go back even further. Now that they have all of the papers of the old Soviet Union, they know that the Soviet Union never had any intention of invading Eastern Europe and certainly no intention of attacking the United States. So all that stuff you see on television in the 1950s, duck and cover and go under your desk and because the Soviets were going to attack the United States. The Soviet Union was a very conservative empire that wanted to control with most authoritarian methods developed probably for a long-standing modern nation, its population, and also surround itself with buffer countries that would be a hedge against another European invasion, which they always feared. And they were extraordinarily fearful of the United States. And until the Soviet Union gained nuclear parity, they were terrified that the United States was made up of such crazy people that they, in fact, would be attacked with nuclear weapons, because the United States could have probably done it in the early 50s at the height of the Red Scare hysteria, which turned out to be absolutely baseless. Certainly domestically, it was baseless. So the whole Cold War was about a load of BS, just like everything since has been, as a rationale to create and maintain a military-industrial complex. Well, why would we want to do that? Well, the depression of the 1930s never really ended until the first quarter of 1942. What was going on then? We had turned the whole country over to military production. Suddenly everybody was back to work. Things were thriving. The nation had a sense of purpose. 1945, we defeat the Japanese. We defeat the Germans, and then we're going to have to stop all of the billions of dollars of government spending on war.
Yeah, and the contractors, the contracts that have cost $85 billion in Iraq alone.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these companies are getting rich, rich, rich. All of Bush's buddies are loaded at the cost of how many lives, really, unnecessarily and illegally, may I add.
Well, so this proposal now by Ukraine just steps up the situation greater. Russia has this creaky system that is containing its nuclear missiles. It can, with a flick of a switch, put Detroit in its sights, or New York, or wherever else you're listening in the country or in the world. And when it sees the forces beginning to be allied against it, what do you think its reaction is going to be? Well, for one thing, they who was the general here? Polish and American officials characterize as unusual aspects of the final deal with Poland that at least temporarily American soldiers would staff air defense sites in Poland oriented towards Russia. and that the United States would be obliged to defend Poland in case of an attack with greater speed than required under NATO, of which Poland is a member. Can we say World War II?
Two?
Well, that's how World War II started. Was
okay.
Defend when,
I'm thinking ahead.
Yeah, World War III. Yeah. Poland and the Poles do not want to be in alliances in which assistance comes at some point later. So the Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk said, Poland wants to be in alliances where assistance comes in the very first hours. Knock on any wood, any possible conflict. So this is where the United States is heading. I mean, is this what... I mean, maybe this is the October surprise that they always talk about.
I think it is. And, you know, I'm not much of a conspiracy type. I know you're not either. But isn't it weird how all of this is kind of happening at once?
Yeah.
You know,
right around the election.
Georgia goes in and does what they do. And McCain being tied into it. And then this agreement with Poland. It's just unreal.
Well, I saw on the Jon Stewart show, they had clips of both Barack Obama and John McCain commenting on this. Barack Obama was in Hawaii, and he didn't have a suit on or anything, and he looked like he was about 22 years old.
I know, I saw a picture of him body surfing.
Yeah.
He really looked like a college kid.
Yeah, yeah. And then here's McCain that looks presidential, and I say that in the worst sense in some way.
Yeah.
With all these sort of maps in front of him, and, you know, this was,
well, he needs the maps in front of him. He doesn't know where Afghanistan is.
Right. Well, here, this is interesting. Mikhail Gorbachev was on Larry King Live. And he said, in February 1990, after talks with West Germany's foreign minister, the Secretary of State James Baker, assured Gorbachev and then Soviet foreign minister Edward Shevardnadze that NATO's jurisdiction would not shift one inch eastward from its present position. In other words, that it wouldn't include Poland. It wouldn't include Georgia. This was the guarantee that it was given. The first Bush administration began backing away from that pledge almost immediately. The Clinton administration reneged on that commitment altogether when it decided to expand NATO to Eastern Europe. Why is there any military alliance at all?
Seriously, it's these empty promises that we make to countries, and then we
Well, who's the enemy? Why is there an enemy? I mean, that Russia has been created as an enemy. No, it doesn't have any intent to march eastward, and certainly not westward.
But McCain is hell-bent on making sure this happens.
Yeah. Well, Michael Clare, who just published a book, actually we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, Rising Power, Shrinking Planet, the New Geopolitics of Energy. He said the United States seeks to use Georgia as an energy corridor to transport Caspian energy to the West without going through Iran or Russia. They helped build this BTC pipeline across Georgia and help beef up the Georgian military to protect it. In fact, you may know that Georgia has the largest number of troops in Iraq after the United States and Britain, and the United States flew them all back to Georgia to fight the Russians.
Really?
Yeah.
So they were out of Iraq. This is, I wish I could say what it is on the air, but it's CF. And it starts with cluster.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I missed that one. Francis Boyle, professor of international law at the University of Illinois. He's the author of a book called Breaking All the Rules, and also another one, Destroying World Order. He says, it's curious but not surprising how the Bush administration and its allies have now found renewed respect for international law in the Caucasus. That's the mountains. Caucasus, that's where us Caucasians came from originally, I guess. But not when it comes to the United States invading Afghanistan and Iraq while threatening to attack Iran. Not when it comes to Israel invading Lebanon and Palestine, attacking Syria and threatening to attack Iran. Not when it comes to Ethiopia invading Somalia. And not when it comes to Colombia attacking Ecuador. From an international law perspective, the real issue here is whether during her trip to Georgia a month ago, U.S. Secretary of State Rice gave the proverbial green light to Georgia to attack South Ossetia and thus deliberately provoke an overreaction by Russia. So... And
that's the word, that it is within the administration that they kind of gave the go-ahead, and this guy is actually listening to these people.
Yeah. Tom, I'm wondering whether you are. 313-298-WRIF. Richard Falk is a professor emeritus of international law at Princeton. He says, I am above all astounded by the mainstream media's failure to take proper note of the pipeline geopolitics that infuses the Russian moves with their global significance. So don't get fooled again. I mean, these people think that they can tell us just absolutely anything.
Well, you know, and earlier I was breezing through the news channels on television just to see what they were up to. And they are spinning it, you know, just so anti-Russia, anti-Russia, anti-Russia. They're not at all speaking about the connection with McCain, McCain's lobbyists, and Georgia at all. None of that.
Well, we should go back just to what I was saying. If things were the other way around, if Russia was telling the U.S. to get out of Iraq immediately, if they were saying that the United States is going back to its old role of invading countries all around the world, here, maybe it's all in this, in the second line of this article from the London Independent, U.S. troops to fly into Georgia. Again, what if this was... You know, like our Georgia or something. But one of the lines says, Bush said military planes would deliver supplies in a move which would put American forces in the heart of the region.
But not in the airports and not in the seaports. That's what he's saying.
But, well, what I mean...
Today.
But what I mean by that is that if Russia was flying its troops into Costa Rica or in back into Cuba, what do you think the reaction of the United States
be?
Yeah.
It would be big.
Speaking of bases, Ecuador told the U.S. must leave the Manta Air Base in Ecuador, and a draft constitution backed by President Correa that was recently approved by a special assembly abolishes any foreign military bases on Ecuadorian soil.
And this is where these guys, these cats hang out when they go in to bust all the
drug interdiction.
Yeah. Colombia, right?
So this is what Ron Paul talks about when he mentions taking the 700 to 900, depending on how you count, U.S. bases around the world. Get them all, bring them all home. Speaking, we're talking about international issues. Let's go international right off of the bat. Here's Ben in Canada. Hey, Ben, where are you calling from? It's Peter and Jolene on WRIF. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter, and hi, Jolene. I listen to your program every night. I'm calling from Sarnia, Ontario, Canada.
Sarnia.
Hi, Ben.
What I'd like to talk to you about is I hear at the beginning of your program about the woodwork crews. I helped found the Sarnia Street Machine Association.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm wanting to talk about a whole different topic, subject, and everything. Relates to books. I'm an author. I want to write some left-hand standard books, but because they don't fall under the right-hand standard, I can't get them published.
You're losing me. What do you mean by left-hand standard?
For real? What?
Okay, to a right-hand dominant person, a right-hand standard book is normal. But a left-hand standard book would be backwards. It would, like, be starting at the back of the book.
But you could write in Hebrew or Arabic or Chinese.
But, see, the reason that I'm talking about this is because of what's called the left-hand dominant phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on right now, we're 38 years into this phenomenon. The government statistics of left-hand dominant people state that in 1970, it was at 15% left-hand dominant. Well, today, in 2008, the left-hand dominant population has grown to 33%.
Wow.
I've done a lot of studies, calculations, so on and so forth. And what's happening is the world is starting to change hands, and I'm a student under the left-hand standard. Most of education is taught under the right-hand standard.
Yeah.
And right now, education is at a standstill. Now, they're looking for new and innovative things to add to the education system, and the only way they're going to improve the education system is by adding the left-hand standard.
Well, we ought to give the lefties.
Here's to the lefties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for telling us about that.
Right?
Are there any other left-handed people that made a lot of sense? I know that, you know, like things like scissors. In fact, they have stores that are kind of left-hand stores.
They do?
They do, yeah.
I used to be married to a left-handed man.
Now you're broadcasting with a lefty.
That's right.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
All right, here's Jim in Lake Orion. Hey, Jim, it's Peter and Jolene. Thanks for calling 313-298-WRIF. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter.
Hi.
Jolene, too.
Hi.
Listen, tomorrow night in Orion Township, at the Township Hall at 2525 Joslin Road, they're going to have a township meeting there. And the reason I'm calling is I am against prayers at these political meetings.
Right, sure.
Amen.
And they have been doing this thing since I'm a citizen of Orion Township, and every time I go, I refuse to stand and pray.
Well, I would hope so.
And the people are looking
I wouldn't
at me
stand.
With evil eyes there. But I would encourage anybody, you know, that is against prayer at meetings to attend the township meeting. Everybody's welcome.
Are they non-denominational or Christian prayers?
Well, they're Christian prayers.
Well,
how in the hell can they get away with this?
It's either usually a Catholic priest from St. Joe's Church or else it's a Lutheran minister.
That's just
well,
so
I'll
wrong.
Tell you, Jim, there is a group that handles that. In fact, I just saw some success that they've had in Illinois. It's called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And if you go to Freedom From...
It's FFRF.org.
Yeah, FFRF.org. FFRF.org.
And email them.
Yeah, because they had these, in Illinois, all these senior centers would begin with these Christian prayers and violated the Illinois Constitution because that religion does not belong in the public sphere. I mean, that the Constitution is very clear on that. Barack Obama and John McShane should not be
talking about their
question by some preacher.
Oh, right. Especially that.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much. We got to go to a break right now. If you want to call in the meantime, 313-298-WRIF or call talkyes@yahoo.com. The phone number in numerically is
313-298-9743.
I almost memorized it, and then we went away for vacation. But we'll be right back.
After all these years, it's hopeless.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this. Weekday nights at 10 with Meltdown. It's like getting hit in the head by a 2x4. With a nail in it. Mandatory Metallica. Now, it's your triple play of the mighty Metallica. With a big unit. Every weekday night at 10. Exclusively from your one and only Metallica station. 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
Psst. Hey, it's Dr. Dan from the Cherry Hill Dental Center. I know you're streaming Riff. I do too. And I know you're probably at work and have to keep this quiet. But I want to interrupt for a minute to tell you about our incredible Zoom whitening offer. Now through Labor Day, Cherry Hill Dental Center has Zoom whitening for only $2.99. That's right, $2.99. I'm sorry, but our summer Zoom whitening sale only happens once a year. Once it's gone, it's gone. You know, nothing looks better than a beaming white smile next to a golden brown tan. Or maybe you need a smile makeover. Transform your smile and get that promotion or the attention of that certain someone. Get where I'm going with this? Write this down. Call right now or during your lunch hour to schedule your appointment. Call 734-427-2880. That's 734-427-2880. Or check us out at CherryHillDental.com. Get the smile. Get the confidence.
Business is tough in Michigan right now, but there are companies who are bucking the trend. Meet Bill and Roseanne, owners of Glendale Auto Supply.
We've built our business on having a depth of inventory that is unsurpassed. And if we don't have the part you need, we can usually get it within 24 hours.
That's right, Bill. And our counter staff are AFC certified professionals. You're dealing with the best of the best in knowledge of auto parts.
We're proud of our staff. They're not just gearheads. They're professionals who love what they do. And now we've added two new locations in Lake Orion and Dearborn Heights to make it even easier for you to shop our stores. We believe in the Motor City.
So when you need a part, shop a real auto part store, Glendale Auto Supply.
Visit Glendale Auto Supply in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or go to GlendaleAutoSupply.com. That's GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
Over 400 local shops count on Glendale Auto for their parts, and you can too.
Come see us today.
So I went out to lunch with those two hot chicks from accounting last week.
Oh, dude, I'm so jealous.
And we started talking about what attracts the opposite sex.
Oh, yeah, big, shiny car.
Hello? The one thing they both agreed on was a great smile.
Really?
Apparently, having healthy-looking teeth sends them a message that you take care of yourself. And if you care about yourself, then you'll care about her.
Yeah, but I always get nervous when I have to go to the dentist.
Yeah, I used to as well. Then one of the girls recommended Cherry Hill Dental Center. It's a state-of-the-art office that handles everything, including cosmetic and restorative procedures.
So maybe I should make an appointment.
Maybe. Come on.
What?
Dude, look in the mirror. When was the last time you've been to a dentist?
That's harsh.
Plus, they've got same-day scheduling most of the time. Just call call Cherry Hill Dental Center. They're on Cherry Hill Road in Garden City. How easy is that? Or go to their website at cherryhilldental.com.
So, a good smile is going to help me with the ladies?
It can't hurt.
Hi, this is Dr. Dan. Backed by popular demand, Cherry Hill Dental Center's Zoo Summer Whitening Special. Just $2.99 now through Labor Day. Call 734-427-2880 or visit cherryhilldental.com.
Think about slipping into something sexy, like the showroom at Denner Lincoln Mercury, where you can run your fingers along the silky surface of a brand new, beautiful body, the Lincoln MKS. Some of them literally glittering in sunlight because of the microscopic particles of glass in the paint. You might want to nestle into the soft leather seats and not get out. That's okay. Take the MKS for a test drive and fall in love. As for the courtship, it won't be long. Denner had MKS in stock and ready for delivery. As for the deal, well, think of Denner Lincoln Mercury as an expert matchmaker. You don't have to take a compatibility test. At Denner, you know you're going to get a good deal and a great deal more, like honesty, reliability, and support. Yeah, you should think about discovering the Denner difference. And reservations? No reservations. Make a date with a bold new MKS in the gorgeous new showroom at Denner Lincoln Mercury on Michigan Avenue, just east of Oakwood Boulevard, or visit Denner.com. You won't be disappointed.
Does your house need painting? Your yard need landscaping? Or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen, big or small. Whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online source that has instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a roofer, electrician, siding pro, or any other home service, visit fixitfast.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. That's fixitfast.servicemagic.com.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Thank you very much, Angeline Jordan as well at 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743. Are you testing me?
I was.
Okay.
While we were gone, we weren't on last week, John McShane visited our fair state, Michigan, and he toured a nuclear power plant in Michigan and highlighted his support for construction of 45 new nuclear power generators by 2030.
This guy
is insane.
It's completely insane. He really is, Peter. He has gone from just a little bit insane to completely insane.
Yeah, I don't even think that this is all BS, because like this whole thing about drilling and getting rid of this ban on a congressional ban on drilling and all that that Bush's father put into place. This is all just to freak people, because now, you know, the weasel Democrats, Nancy Pelosi said, oh, well, maybe we could have a mix. And because the majority of people apparently because understandably people are so desperate that of these prices that are making Bush's pals so wealthy at our expense, where we're paying for their wealth, that someone says drill in the Arctic National
Wildlife Refuge.
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't care. I just don't want to pay $4 a gallon.
Yeah, but what you're paying for is all of these contracts for this ridiculous war in Iraq, and meanwhile, I bet there's a few of you who are listening out there tonight who at times worry whether you can feed your family.
Right.
Especially in a healthy way.
But there's no way in the world that that drilling is going to create any reduction.
Well,
in,
major
in the
relief
pump
for anyone.
Yeah, right.
We gotta get minor.
The only thing that Bush, imagine 8 years of speaking publicly and only making sense or telling the truth once. Well, that's George W. Bush. He said, we're addicted to oil, and this does nothing to move away from that. There are plenty of plans that could do it. Anyway, so here's John Insane touring this nuclear power plant, saying he wants 45 new ones. Well, the only way the nuclear industry could even progress from its origins was through massive government subsidies. That means you and I are going to subsidize DTE here in this area. McCain said he portrayed as supportive of nuclear energy as part of an all-of-the-above approach to addressing the nation's energy needs at a time of $4, blah, blah, blah. He called it safe, efficient, inexpensive, and obviously a vital ingredient in the future of the economy of our nation.
And I call him a liar.
Well, here to just to give you an idea. This is just this little teeny weeny. In fact, it was the same day. Why do I have to connect the dots? Why doesn't the New York Times do that? But this is in a little article they have a column called National Briefing. So it's about probably 100 words. It says, high costing on nuclear dump because you create nuclear waste, right? And it says, even if no reactors are built, getting rid of the country's nuclear waste bill will cost almost $100 billion and require a major expansion of the planned Nevada waste dump beyond limits imposed by Congress, according to the Energy Department. This is Bush's Energy Department. The government now says the Yucca Mountain Project, about 90 miles northwest of Las Vegas, these estimates cover waste only from existing reactors and from the military. So this is John Insane saying that this is inexpensive, and it's the kind of industrial, what would you call it, production that you can have no errors.
That's right.
One error.
Poof. And poof.
Yeah, you're gone. So these people are truly crazy.
Yes, they really
truly
are.
Truly crazy. Yeah.
Psychopathic.
Let's talk to Ron in Detroit. Ron, hi, it's Peter and Jalene on WRIF. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi. Regarding the comments you made about the Russia-Georgia-U.S. Conflict, there are some excellent summaries concerning this issue by Justin Raimondo up at antiwar.com. Also, globalresearch.ca has some excellent articles, and one by F.W. Engdahl, an excellent source of information about energy and geopolitics, points out that don't expect anything better from Obama. Remember that Obama has as an advisor is a big Brzezinski.
Brzezinski, yeah.
And who is Brzezinski?
A hawk of the first order.
Not only that, but his son, Ian Brzezinski, who is current U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for European and NATO Affairs.
Really?
Ian Brzezinski is a devout backer of the U.S. missile defense policy, as well as Kosovo independence and NATO expansion into Ukraine and Georgia. So to expect that Obama is going to be any improvement is, you might as well be smoking dope. The same thing applies for Obama's economic advisors, unlike Kucinich, who had a truly progressive, non-Chicago school-style economist advisor by the name of Michael Hudson, author of Super Imperialism and the sequel to that, Global Fracture. Who are the advisors for Obama? Paul Volcker,
sure. The
guy who murdered New York, Robert Rubin, Goldman Sachs, the horrible firm, George Soros, kind of a mixed bag guy. Sometimes he criticizes the establishment, but he's definitely part of the establishment.
He has a massive billion. Well, what are you going to do, Ron? I mean, here's what I've decided long ago. I used to either not vote, figuring the Democrats were just the other part of the ruling racket, or plunk down my vote for some third party. But I guess I was persuaded by Noam Chomsky, the famed social critic, who says that he just votes for the lesser of the two evils, that because one of them is going to win, and you want the lesser rather than the greater. And in this case, just like it's been in the last few elections, the greater evil is the Republican. And what it means, though, when we fasten so heavily on presidential elections, it dismisses the idea that if we want change, it's got to come from mass movements like it always has. So I'm going to vote for Barack Obama, figuring that at best he's a center rightist. I mean, the idea that he is some leftist. I was reading this stuff online. People calling me, he's the hard left. They don't know what the hard left is, do they?
Well, Clearly not. In fact, people are going to be very disappointed. At best, Barack Obama is going to be Bill Clinton. And remember, Bill Clinton involved us in wars. Bill Clinton signed disastrous legislation that created this bubble. He created the information technology problem by allowing for the centralization of the media. Bill Clinton did lots of bad things, and in fact, most people haven't even caught up to all the bad things that he and Al Gore did.
Well, Ron, so, you know, to call Obama a leftist, I just happened to write down what would be my presidential platform. And I guess I looked at all of this and didn't see one thing on here that Obama would sign on to. So those of you, if there are people that are afraid that Obama is a leftist, let me just run through it. It'll take a minute or so, Ron. Just hang on.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah. All right. Here. So international affairs. Immediate withdrawal of all troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. This is me. Dismantle all U.S. military bases abroad. That's me and Ron Paul. Cut the war budget in half. Cut the armed forces by half, and begin immediate negotiations for total nuclear disarmament and also peaceful relations with the other powers around the world instead of this military belligerency. Domestically, heavy taxation of the wealthy and corporations, a $50,000 tax deduction for all of us, which means you don't start paying taxes till after 50,000. Free university education, massive funding of public works for schools, roads, and rapid transit, free postage for individuals, minimum wage of $10 and for North American companies doing business in Mexico, which would mean if they're taking jobs there, they'd have to pay at least $10 an hour. Excess profit taxes, which would return earnings to employees. So in other words, somebody that's really robbing us, like ExxonMobil, rather than all of this money that they've looted from the ordinary American at the gas pump, rather than just going to the people that are already wealthy, that it would at a minimum have to be returned and greater to increase the wages and salaries of their workers. Also raise Social Security benefits. Now, does Barack Obama want any of this? No. But there's more. A crash program to build an alternative energy infrastructure. Decommission immediately all nuclear power plants. Zero emissions and pollution from all companies, or they're confiscated without compensation. Give them about 5 years. A free single-payer national health care system. Let's see. What else would I can't get this. How do you work these damn things? Come on. All right. Marriage for all people that desire it. No restrictions other than age. End capital punishment. Make all elections government finance with no media ads allowed. You know, all this crap that's going on, instead it could have debates. Just that. Abolish all lobbyists. Make it illegal for companies to influence pending legislation, and on and on and on. Now, that is somewhat of a left agenda, and it would probably not make us too much different than a lot of very successful countries like in Northern Europe. So, that at least gets it as sort of a radical reform agenda, wouldn't you say, Ron?
Well, yes, and you're not going to get any of that out of him, but that's
no, none.
Some of those things would involve amendments to the Constitution, and of course I'm for that, but
none of it. None of it. Wait. What would be an amendment to the Constitution?
Some of the economic issues that you mentioned simply are really beyond Congress's proper purview, and you just need to amend. And what's wrong with that, Peter?
Neither of us are constitutional scholars.
Talk about your electoral form. Now, that probably, you got your First Amendment in there, and you can't just say, well, we're going to modify the Constitution via congressional laws. You can't do that. You've got to amend the Constitution, and it should be anyways. We should get rid of the 13th Amendment, for example, which still allows slavery and indentured servitude as punishment for crime. Don't forget about that, both of you. That's a very serious problem. But let me suggest that another thing that is missing from your list that is important to accomplishing any of those goals is the return to the greenback of Lincoln, which in fact was simply redoing what was done earlier in our colonial and in the very beginning of this country, where the government issued the money and get rid of the monopoly that we've given to the central banks, which is costing this country dearly and is the the root of all of most of the inflation in this country.
Well, I think that that was just a preliminary list. Yeah, I mean, if we started to really make this country realize its promise, and it's not. We can't have a country that, in fact, the world. I mean, the world is fixable, but not in its current political and economic and social structure. It has to be greatly changed. All right, Ron, thanks for your input. I appreciate it. 313-298-WRIF. Let's see, here's Kim. Kim, hi. It's Peter and Jolene. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jolene. I'm a longtime listener and a fan and first-time caller.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, I'm McCain was in my neighborhood. I'm up here in northern Monroe County. So.
Oh, yeah, Carrollton.
Yeah, it's not just north of Monroe.
Right.
But what I wanted to talk about was this, you brought the point up earlier of, I guess, shall we say, the religiosity of our candidates. I had the TV on earlier. Actually, I saw a speech by McCain on C-SPAN that was pretty sick, and he was singing the praises of Bush and how wonderful things had been, and, you know, and I'm sure you're aware of all the crap that you hear on that from that camp. But on the subject of religion, isn't it interesting in this purported modern society we live in that a person that would not profess any profound religious convictions, and namely Christianity. I mean, you couldn't be a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu.
Kim, let me interrupt you. Actually, I have to do something since I'm going to hold you over because we got to do some spots right now. So hold on, and we will be right back to get you. Peter Warby, Jolene Jordan, 313-298-WRIF.
I want you all to know.
This is the greatest country in the world.
This is Night Call. On 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
This is my car. I don't know how I lived without it.
Muscle car fanatics. Join the Riff Cyber Crew for free today at WRIF.com and get signed up for the Riff Muscle Car Club. Get special invitation for upcoming WRIF Muscle Car Club events with a chance to win Best in Show, Best Banks, Best Engine, and Best Interior. One lucky Riff Muscle Car Club member will be front and center with a Riff at the 2009 Autorama. Sign up now with the Riff Cyber Crew at WRIF.com. It's totally free. The WRIF Muscle Car Club. Brought to you by Glendale Auto Supply. Shop a real auto parts store at 101.
Do you know why you get dark circles under your eyes? Because blood leaks out of your capillaries and pools under your skin. I'm not kidding. It's just like an ugly bruise. But now you can erase dark circles with a proven breakthrough called Hydralyze. Hydralyze diminishes dark circles and tightens puffiness and bags by repairing leaky capillaries, leaving you with younger, brighter eyes. See for yourself by calling for a free trial right now. Just call 1-800-497-8630.
My husband, he can't stop complimenting me. People tell me I look 10 years younger.
Even surgery cannot deliver these stunning results. Hydralyze is so powerful it even helps build new collagen in the skin, reducing crow's feet and wrinkles. Try Hydralyze risk-free and see for yourself.
Well, I used it and, wow, the dark circles are gone. I don't look tired anymore. I feel great.
You deserve younger, brighter eyes. Call now for your free trial of Hydralyze and experience the transformation for yourself. For your free trial, call 1-800-497-8630. That's 1-800-497-8630.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now, there's a better way to remove those dangers. It's with the Wave Moisture Control Unit. Call 1-866-324-9477. Wave expels moisture and improves the air quality in your entire home. It requires no maintenance. No buckets to empty, no filters. And compared to a dehumidifier, it'll save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs. Wave can transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Wave right now for free information. Call 1-866-324-9477 or log on to healthyhousenow.com. That's healthyhousenow.com. Or call now 1-866-324-9477.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-557-1372. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-557-1372. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now, 1-800-557-1372. 1-800-557-1372.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-877-252-8200. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Conventional mattresses create pressure points that make you toss and turn, but the unique Tempur-Pedic material eliminates them, guaranteeing you sounder, more restful sleep. Even if you have back or neck problems, Tempur-Pedic offers exceptional relief. Feel the Tempur-Pedic difference. Call for a free sample of their unique mattress material at 1-877-252-8200. Call now and you'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-877-252-8200. That's 1-877-252-8200.
Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-507-7991 for your free tape. Call 1-800-507-7991. 1-800-507-7991.
Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
Thank you very much. Joined by Jalene Jordan. And on the line is Kim from Carlton, Michigan. And I held him over. This is our second hour. Usually we don't do this kind of stuff. You know, start afresh an hour, but Kim, long-time listener, first-time caller. Kim, welcome back. So maybe you could even reset your concerns here for people just joining us, if you're still here. Oh, I mean, is this one of these things where I have to actually click the button to put him on the air?
Click.
Sorry there, Kim. You're on the air, buddy.
Oh, okay. I thought I was already.
Yeah, go ahead. Start
again. You are now.
Yeah, I was saying that I think it's sad that in our this modern society of ours that a person really, it would be impossible for a person, a candidate, to be elected if they do not profess some sort of profound religious convictions, and namely Christianity. You wouldn't if you were a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever.
Whoa! You mean I'm counted out? I don't have a chance.
Yeah, I hate to tell you.
Oh man.
But
we're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that I did see Obama earlier on TV, and they were showing a clip from last night with this reverend that was interviewing him and McCain, and Obama was saying, well, I am saved and I have Jesus in my heart and he guides me. I walk with him. You know, he is taking care of my sins even though I'm not perfect. And I thought, you know, even if a person did not believe that, they would still have to say it.
Well, of course.
And, you know, in the days of, say, you know, Madison or Jefferson, it would have been much more acceptable and palatable to the American public to have an agnostic, as Jefferson was a deist, in office.
And Lincoln. Lincoln professed no religion.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And even though Lincoln doesn't, a lot of people don't realize it about Lincoln, but, and I think a lot of it has to do with this sort of sad mentality that a lot of people have, especially Americans, that if someone is an agnostic or an atheist, that they're somehow immoral, that they're the people committing the rapes and murders and all the heinous crimes, or they're these nefarious people. And I've always said, you know, that's just not the case. I mean, I've always said that a believer, especially a disbelief in God, is an intellectual stance or perspective, not a moral one. And people, you know, they have that, oh, you're an agnostic, oh, you're an atheist, oh, my God. And, you know,
oh, my God, I love it.
In this day and age that people look at things like that. So when it comes to a presidential candidate, my God, even Hillary and Obama, and like I said, of course, we expect that from McCain and our friend W., it's really sad that that's the mentality, you know.
Right. You know, I can't remember this off the top of my head, but Hillary is tied in with this very evil Christian group of central. It's almost like, what was that now? I'm forgetting everything. The Imperium. What was the movie that was in? Sort of a science, not sort of a fantasy, huh?
You mean I'm not even gonna guess.
Okay. But anyway.
Is it V is for Vendetta?
No.
Why did I guess?
Yeah, that was bad. But, Hillary has a long connection with this sort of shadowy Christian group where they all these Republicans and Democrats meet together. It's one of those things that makes you think that these politicians and their parties aren't real far apart. Hey, Kim, you're sort of near Monroe. What's the thinking about McCain going down? He was chatting it up with Anthony Early, the CEO of DTE.
Well, I think, you know, of course, the press always presents it a little differently. I did not make it to protest. My friend Mark from Monroe, who I think you know.
Our pal Mark.
Yeah, Mark's a good friend of mine. And so, in fact, he got, we went out to, actually, when I, another thing I wanted to mention, we went out to see Bill Maher in Ann Arbor a Friday night. Julina seeing Steely Dan. Good night for everybody.
I would have loved to have seen Bill Maher more than Steely Dan, but I had those tickets.
It was a last minute thing for me, and of course he took on the two, and I've always thought Bill Maher is a fairly perspicacious commentator on especially things like politics and religion, and, that's the two things he really dwelled on, and I was, sort of in my element. I mean, he was, and he saved really. He told the audience, he said, "I'm going to save my comments on religion for last. So if you want to, if I'm going to offend you, watch the first part of the show, and then you know, and then you can leave for that." But he did come out and say things like, you know, offensive to people that are religious people. But you know, he did say things like, you know, look at all the nonsense involved with religion. What people believe because they've been told to believe. You know, how do you people believe this BS? And he just, and you know, and he's a pretty strong personality. But you know what? I was saying like, hey man, he's saying things that need to be said.
Yeah, but let me see who sent this. Jason wrote into calltalkass@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. He was talking about. The DTE CEO, Tony Early, who fielded questions from McCain when he visited Fermi 2, said Early was CEO of the Long Island Lighting Company during the time when it developed the Shoreham plant, the first completed nuclear power plant to never produce electricity for ratepayers. It was shut down after a sustained protest campaign by people who saw it as environmentally dangerous, particularly in the wake of the accident at Three Mile Island. And in 1988, a federal jury found Long Island Lighting guilty of racketeering for lying to state regulators about the Shoreham plant to get a rate increase. And the people of New York, of course, had to pay the freight ultimately. So this is the guy that's telling us everything's okay. And actually, in 2 weeks, I'm going to have Harvey Wasserman on again, who... who's now quite, I mean, he's always been a crusader against nuclear power, put together musician. What was it? He put a, like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, he put together that concert in Madison Square Garden with Jackson Brown all those people.
The No Nukes.
The No Nukes, famous No Nukes concert.
Springsteen, I think, was there.
Springsteen, yeah. A lot of people. Well, Kim, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you on the air. Please call again.
Yeah, thanks very much, Peter. Julian, have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye. Say hello to Mark, too. Mark listens very frequently down there in Monroe, who's been fighting Fermi, too, for, geez, who knows.
Go, Mark.
Yeah, go, Mark. Here's Sean in Mount Clemens. Sean, hi, it's Peter and Julian. Thanks for calling 313-298-WRIF. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Terrific.
Great. I guess you've heard of the book, A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
We have heard of it.
Oh, yes. He's a friend of the show.
Well, a great thing that he writes there is during the Clinton-Bush presidency or the electorate vote between Clinton and Bush Sr., 20% of the vote was Perot, and 45% of the people didn't even vote. So
sure.
Today, what's amazing is there's like billionaires are skyrocketing. I mean, it's just like there's more billionaires than ever, and I think that in the future you're going to have independents that are going to take over the Republican Democratic Party.
Now, there is just a book, I can't think of the name of it, but something, The Age of Independence or something like that. But I don't know, talking about this realignment of parties. I mean, there are no liberal, maybe one or two left, liberal Republicans like there used to be. I mean, there used to be liberal Republicans.
I thought you were going to say there's no more liberal Democrats.
Well, they could all just have one big conservative party. Maybe they could.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that I forget that gentleman's name. He's the billionaire that I think he's the guy, the president of Virgin. He's a very into the green thing there.
Richard Branson.
Yes. And, I mean, like, if you look in, like, you know, the power that he has and the influence, and, you know, so I just had a little list, too, of some quick things that we could do to be independent where our government doesn't depend on the people anymore. Like, in Japan, they have tidal waves that generate their electricity over there. They use trains that are magnetic, very little electricity to run those. We need to have, as you mentioned earlier, an incredible public transportation system. Now, as far as getting to a lot of the causes of problems, I'm actually a chiropractor, and we believe that a lot of problems in society is due to health. And
sure.
Mm-hmm. For example, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, people don't realize that 80% of all prescription and over-the-counter drugs are based off herbs. Now, if people actually started growing their own herbs in their home, they wouldn't have to buy their prescriptions. Obviously, have an herbologist to help guide them, get their spines adjusted for optimal nervous system, have a midwife delivery where it doesn't cost, you know, $6,000 to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, educate children about the rhythm method, which is actually highly effective. It's done properly. Teach people.
Wait a minute. They used to, when I was a youngin, they used to call that papal roulette.
They did.
Well, it's actually only about 5 or 6 days where a woman can come pregnant. But just
right.
In general, educate people about that, you know, about, you know, pulling out, for example, or just other options besides, the condom or the pill. Other options here I had written down is you know, the meat and dairy industry, those are large corporations that pay the government to advertise in the school systems. And teach students that, you know, milk is great for a baby cow, but, you know, ideally, a mother, you know, she should be producing milk for its own child, not from another species.
Yeah, we agree. That is just so weird. Neither of us drink cow's milk. And it's we've said it before. And, you know, people have come up to me and said, I heard you say that. And it stuck with me. We're the only species that drinks the cow or
the milk
of another species.
Very weird.
It's so weird.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate your call. Thanks
and
for
I
all that.
I have to say, I've been saved twice. By chiropractic care.
Chiropractors are good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Saved.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Let's see. Got some open lines for you. 313-298-WRIF.
I can't comment on the pulling out.
We let that go. There used to be signs. There's always signs at anti-war demonstrations that say, Bush, pull out like your father should have.
I love that one.
All right. Here's Lars in Madison Heights. Lars, hi. It's Peter and Jalene. Thanks for joining us on WRIF.
Hi, Peter, Julian. I just wanted to talk about Iraq Veterans Against the War is going to be going to the Democratic National Convention in Denver to protest.
Oh. Well, wait a minute. I thought you were going to go to the Republican. Why the Democrats?
Well, the Democratic National Convention, then our own national, or Iraq Veterans Against the War National Convention, and then it's going to be right out in Minnesota near...
the Republican convention.
Yeah, then that's going to be afterwards.
Okay, so you're hitting all of it.
Well, actually, the city of Denver, I heard, has just put together some luxury accommodations for protesters.
I had not heard that.
Yeah,
it's
5x5 barbed wire cages that they're putting together in an abandoned warehouse. Yeah, this is true. So
it's got to be concertina wire or razor wire.
Yeah.
Peter taught me how not to get arrested at protests, by the way. And here's what it is. Ready? Run.
Run your butt off. Yeah, you know, because...
When the spray comes out, it's time to go.
Yeah, when the cops attack people because, you know, like... The protesters are wearing tank tops and flip-flops, right?
Yeah, monk robes.
Yeah, and the cops are all like robo-copped out.
Unreal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite the sight.
So, hey, what's speaking to the site, tell us the Iraq Vets Against the War website.
IVAW.org.
IVAW.org.
Wait a minute.
That was fast.
I want to hear you say that again. Say it again, Lars.
IVAW.org.
No, you slowed down. You did about half the speed.
he got the cut of your
IVAW. I can't say that.
IVAW.org.
Yeah, you know, one of the things the IVAW has been supporting are military resistors who have gone to Canada, and they've been getting kicked out of the country. It's not like the 1970s, eh?
Just similar.
Well, no, in the 70s, Canada was welcoming.
Yeah, now they're sending them back.
Yeah. In fact, out in B.C., in British Columbia, there was a big controversy last year because the citizens there wanted to put up a statue of a U.S. draft resistor, which I thought it was a little odd on the face of it, but it created quite a controversy and didn't happen, went down. All right, thank you, Lars.
We'll expect a report back.
Yeah, yeah.
From all of your actions.
How the the accommodations were.
Right. Can you imagine?
Right.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
313-298-WRIF. I'm losing some of the names. By the way, Al Slayer. You were great last week, by the way. I heard you on the air from our people were sitting in for us. But I don't have I don't have a name up here on this one, but so while you're working with that one, we'll say hello to Alicia. She's in Redford. Hi, Alicia. It's Peter and Jolene. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, Jolene. How you guys doing?
Hi.
Doing good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment. Why don't you run for president, man? I'll vote for you.
Why not?
What, me? No.
No, Jolene.
Peter.
I'll be your vice president.
Yeah.
There you go.
You'll take care of the vice.
Yeah. What do we do? What do we do with all these skeletons in our closets?
Yeah.
That's all right.
We're screwed.
You know what? There's only one reason that I would like to run for political office.
Yeah.
When they started asking me questions about my personal life, and actually, I mean this seriously, I would say, "Hey, I don't even want to talk about that."
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to run as an open atheist or something like that. But most of it, all this stuff about what I did when I was 20 years old, and
God, wasn't it fun?
It was. Yeah, that's what I could say.
I had a great time.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the fascination. In fact, I was talking to somebody here at work who said, "I don't like Obama." And I said,
really?
"Why?" And he and it was like,
"Did this person say it like that?" I don't like Obama.
Yeah, and it was in this manner that it didn't have anything to do with his like policies or an agenda or a program. It had to do with what kind of person he was or how he looked or I mean all this stuff that is just absolutely insane. People, someone's going to be elected, and Obama certainly isn't far enough left for me to get very enthusiastic about. But someone's going to be. They're appointing Supreme Court justices and dealing with these executive orders.
And for example, just in the topics we've covered tonight, Obama isn't talking about opening up 45 new nuclear power plants around the country. So, you know, things little minor things like that.
Exactly. Lesser of two evils, like you said earlier.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
All right. You guys have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now. Speaking about issues, and everybody is all off... again, about personalities, you know, that absolutely repellent ad. When Obama debates John McShane, I hope he says to him, "Why are you running these ads about me that are simply a personal ad hominem attacks, attack on the man, as opposed to what I believe in?" I mean, to say that Barack Obama isn't experienced enough to lead, I mean, you could make that argument. What else? That his economic policies or his energy policies are bad. But
he's going to raise taxes. Well, the taxes are going to raise no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope that taxes are raised massively. But not on the wealthy, on the people.
The people who can afford them.
Yeah, yeah, not on the middle class, not on the working class. So that let's have the upper 15%, particularly the upper 5% and above, pay the freight. Where is that? Do you have that thing about corporations not not paying anything?
Oh, I read that, but I don't think I have that.
In other words, two-thirds of
U.S. corporations.
Corporations.
Pay
federal taxes. They don't pay any taxes.
Zero.
Yeah, they pay. You know anybody that ain't cheating that's not paying any taxes? I mean, paying taxes.
What about the people? I just don't understand this at all, Peter. I think it's just so depressing.
Well, but the federal minimum wage is now $6.55 an hour.
Woo! Go out and buy yourself a... Oh, wait.
Yeah,
nothing.
You should go to the dollar store.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we're getting...
we have a lot of dollar stores in Detroit.
Yeah, we're getting screwed massively by... can't find it. By the corporations and, you know, government. The Bush Co., this racket posing as a government, is... organizing that. Here, Quebec Walmart workers unionize. This is the second time they've done it. Small group of employees at a Walmart store in Canada secured yesterday the only union contract with the company in North America, a victory for labor groups that have campaigned for years to organize the world's largest retailer. The three-year contract covers eight workers in the tire and lube department of a Walmart in Gatineau, I think, could be how you say it, Quebec, and increases starting wages from $8.40 to $10.89 an hour, which means that people that are doing this work for this extraordinarily wealthy country that have made billionaires, what did I say?
Country.
Oh, thank you. Company. Billionaires out of all of the heirs, that it comes down to what, about $22,000 a year or something,
right,
like
exactly.
That. Yeah. Even still, it's a 25% increase. I mean, well, that's what unions do for you.
And you know that Walmart is shaking in their boots right now because people have been trying to unionize for years, and what they've done, even in Canada, is just shut the doors. And shut down. Yes, thank you. And so in this case, they have, you know, they're forced, they have to pay it.
Yeah, Walmart spokesman Andrew Peltier said yesterday the company was still reviewing the contract and its implications for employees. In fact, the contract was imposed by the Quebec Labor Relations Board. But here, in 2011, meat cutters at a Texas store won union recognition, the first in the United States. Soon after, Walmart eliminated such positions, positions like that, at 180 stores in six states. So this is the management strategy of what would you call it? Blackmail.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, you want to unionize? You're not going to have a job.
That's right. Go find another one. And Walmart, one of their many excuses is they want to keep those prices low for the consumer. It's like, you know, give me a break.
Yeah, the people that own it are multi-billionaires.
Multi-billionaires. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they own Sam's Club as well.
Yeah, let's see. I thought there was another store that they closed as well.
Yeah, there was.
In Canada. Yeah.
Yes.
I think in Montreal. Where did I couldn't find this? Huh. But in any event, that's what they did. They actually closed this store rather than accept this unionization.
Yeah.
I mean, Ford, after calling out goon squads and GM calling out the National Guard in the late 1930s, eventually said, okay, we'll accept unions. But this is like the 1980s. And that, don't forget about 19. This is like the 1870s or something like that. All right. And so they're trying to keep the wages down. Walmart Stores Chief Executive Lee Scott received compensation valued at $30 million
in 2000. They're arguing about $2 an hour. That is just criminal.
It's pathological, though, as well.
It is pathological, completely.
These people are, I mean, it's what I'm saying. You know, this is the melting pot, right? The people on the bottom get burned and the scum rise to the top.
Here's an example. I think one of that you were looking for back in 2000 in Texas.
No, that's the one I just said.
Oh, you said the meat cutters?
Yeah.
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 And then they...
Were you texting?
No.
Okay.
I was searching.
But somewhere in Canada, they had also shut down a company. I can't believe I can't... The UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers, began conducting organizing drives in Canada 6 years, winning union certification of tire and lube workers at the Gatineau store in 2005. Oh, no, this is the same thing. Anyway.
I know. I can't find it either.
Yeah, but it's in there.
Yes.
All right. Whoa. where I just did something weird with my computer, but there we go again. Oh, and by the way, Kim mentioned A People's History of the United States. If you want to get a decent history and a book that reads in an exciting manner, mm-hmm. if you're going to history, like that, Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States, is incredible. And there's a whole series now. And at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to be interviewing my good pal, what's his name, Dave Zirin. Dave Zirin, Z-I-R-I-N. You can go to edgeofsports.com, edgeofsports.com. And Dave Zirin is just about to publish a book called A People's History of Sports in the United States. So what Zinn, this incredible historian, has engendered is other historians and people in other aspects of making us learn about ourselves.
From the people's point of view.
Yeah.
Not what they teach you in school, although we have met a couple people whose teachers have used that, and they were very lucky.
Yeah, and I usually say when we're talking about it, if you're in, even if you, it's a textbook and you sell 30, 40, 50,000 copies of it, it's amazing. But this last I heard, A People's History of the United States has sold 1.5 million copies and maybe up since then. All right, here's Pete in Yale, Michigan. Pete, hi, it's Pete and Jalene. You're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question. Who should I vote for and why?
Well, I don't know. How about you giving some answers?
Sounds like the dating game or something.
Yeah, no. No, my whole thing is that, have you guys ever seen the movie The Skulls?
The Skulls?
No.
It's basically about a secret society.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's the government for you.
Okay.
Because one way or another, they find a way to screw you over.
Well, that's for sure.
And it's like, you know, you got the picks, you know, you got Obama and then you got McClain or whatever the fuck his name is. Sorry about my language.
Yeah, my bad. Me too.
But, you know, who do I vote for? It's like, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, the Democrats are closer, although they don't come anywhere near enough for me, to carrying out an agenda that supports the majority of people in this country, the overwhelming majority of in this country. There's a famous little clip of Bush in a tuxedo talking to these ultra rich people where he says something about some people call you the elite, I call you my base.
Right.
So the Republican agenda, with all of its attack on working standards and wages and turning over all of the taxpayer dollars to these contractors and everything like that, it's all about having us, the ordinary middle class and working class people, pay for the wealth that the elite has been accumulating, and the Democrats, they're not going to be as bad. And also, the whole arena of civil liberties is so much in jeopardy that that the Bush and Cheney and the rest of them and these Supreme Court justices that Bush and his father have and Reagan have appointed, they couldn't care less about the guarantees of the Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights. So at least two Supreme Court justices are going to retire. It also has to do with a woman's right to choose, because right now there's, I think even right now, that well, I don't know, there may be a Catholic majority, if certainly there's going to be a Catholic conservative majority that is going to return us to the days before Roe v. Wade. And to me, the Democrats are nothing to write home about, but at least it will give us some breathing space.
Yes.
Because what's really got to happen, it's got to come from the grassroots, just like every important political and social change in this country has since its origins. So, yeah. So, I mean, you could vote for somebody whose program I agree with a lot more, like Cynthia McKinney on the Green Party, or even Ralph Nader. But, you know. It's just you might as well stay home, which I've done in the past. I have indeed. But so I don't know. What does that tell you?
Just go with somebody that I guess I like.
Well,
don't vote Republican.
Well, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
three important words.
Friends don't let friends vote
Republican.
For Republican, because essentially to vote Republican is essentially to vote for the interests of the ultra wealthy. Anybody who's not ultra wealthy is voting against the interests of themselves, their family, their neighborhood, their community, and ultimately their state and our country. That will Barack Obama be, you know, 180 degree opposite? No. But who knows? Maybe he'll, you know, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt took over in 1933 in the midst of the Great Depression, they thought he was going to pretty much do what, this is what some Democrats tell me, this is their argument, is that Barack Obama, particularly if he gets a large majority in Congress, will bring in some innovative and even radical programs of transformation, which this country so greatly needs. Mm-hmm. But if he's not willing to take on the military-industrial complex, if he's not willing to do what Ron Paul said of dismantle all the bases abroad, bringing all the troops home from everywhere, of cutting the military budget in half and begin to spend that on domestic programs, cut taxes for the middle class and the working class, not a lot is going to change. But John McCain, as I always call him, John McSame, it's going to be like giving Bush a third term. All right, good luck, Pete. Let us know as you go along what you come up with. All right, open lines for you, 313-298-WRIF. Right back to get your calls.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
You waiting live. Camped out for days.
Yeah, I got a tent and snacks!
All just to be the first to get the new Apple iPhone 3G.
Yeah!
Which was promptly followed by another million or so iPhone 3G sold online.
Wait, what?
To people who value little things like a comfy bed,
dude,
and daily showers,
dude,
so they don't reek.
You're so crushing my joy, bro!
But hey, you did get it first.
Yeah, chicks are gonna dig that!
Okay, don't push your luck. Look on the bright side. You can put that new iPhone to a really good use. Log on to WRIF.com. And you can stream the Riff Live from anywhere in the freaking world on your totally awesome,
yeah,
brand spanking new,
woo-hoo,
Apple iPhone 3G.
Dude, that rocks!
Yeah! Now do us all a favor. Take a shower.
Dude!
On your radio, on your computer, and now on your brand new iPhone 3G. Log on and listen worldwide at WRIF.com.
The Riff.
Bikers Wanted. The Riff and Star Motorcycles by Yamaha have teamed up to give you Star Demo Days free weekend out this Saturday and Sunday at Mount Holly. Join WRIF's Ann Carlini live on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Live music from Soul Circus, The Unheard, and Matt Austin Saturday from 11 to 5. Free food and test drive the hottest Star motorcycles. Burn up their gas through the beautiful rolling hills of Holly, Michigan. Motorcycle endorsements are required and participants must sign up on site. Take a ride and receive free tickets to the Renaissance Festival, plus other Star and Yamaha giveaways like motorcycle jackets, hats, t-shirts, and more while supplies last. Don't miss this opportunity to see the all-new 2009 Star V-Max, one of only two in the country on display. With over 25 different bikes from 250cc's to 1900cc's, you can test drive the bike you've been dreaming about on Star Motorcycles Buck. Hey, you're not paying the gas, so take advantage of Star Motorcycles Demo Days this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Call a good day, auto parts are what we're for. A real auto parts store.
Your neighborhood Glendale Auto Supply wants to help get your car or boat ready for the rigors of summer with their Saturday 1010 oil change special. Every Saturday, WRIF listeners can receive a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Offer available 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at all 6 Glendale Auto Supply locations. Just mention you heard this on 101 WRIF and get a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Find out why over 400 local repair shops choose Glendale Auto Supply when they need parts. Maybe it's time you find out what the pros know. A premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Exclusively for WRIF listeners, Saturdays at Glendale Auto Supply with 6 convenient locations throughout Metro Detroit. Located in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or log on at GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
Do you owe the IRS $15,000 or more in back taxes? Are you worried about wage garnishments, bank levies, and IRS seizures? Call American Tax Relief. If you qualify, now you could settle your tax debts for less than you owe. Just call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief has helped thousands of honest, hardworking Americans settle their tax debts for less, stop garnishments and levies, and remove penalties and interest. Their staff of
experts will work hard to get you the best possible settlement you qualify for. With experienced, knowledgeable professionals on your side, you can save money as well as time and stress. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief can help you get the fresh start you're looking for. Call right now. 800-493-8159. That's 800-493-8159.
Motor City Steals and Deals has sniffed out some great deals for you in the Dog Days of Summer auction. Log on now to MotorCitySteelsAndDeals.com. Click on the Dog Days of Summer link or image and name your price on these doggone good items.
Cosmetic procedures by Dr. Sig. Salon and spa services at Salon Nadwa and Day Spa or Pure Salon and Day Spa. Memberships to Franklin Athletic Club, wedding packages from All Occasion Accessories, Pet Ritz Lakeshore Daycare and boarding packages, Hurricane Phoenix 160 or Valley Advocate Kayaks from Riverside Kayak Connection, and so much more.
Place your bids now through this Thursday at 5 p.m. Motor City Steals and Deals has sniffed out some great deals for you in the Dog Days of Summer auction. Log on now to MotorCitySteelsAndDeals.com. Click on the Dog Days of Summer link or image and name your price on these doggone good items.
A motorhome rental from Walt Michaels. A $500 gift certificate for tuition or classes at the Paul Green School of Rock. Pontoon rental from Orion Marine Center. Custom kitchen hutch from Kitchens by Richards. A woman's 10K white gold, yellow gold tennis bracelet from the Cash Exchange. Laser hair removal from Radiance Med Spa, and so much more.
Place your bids now through this Thursday at 5 p.m.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Thank you very much. Julian Jordan is with me and our final segment. So if you'd like to call, please do. 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743. And there are open lines. So make sure you have something to say. Give us a call.
That's a good yes. Yes. I'm looking at my website, Peter Werby. I haven't been promoting that enough. There's such good stuff on there. Yeah, I didn't write it or anything. This is all copy and paste. But everything about the conflict in Georgia and what a scam it is. And also, there's a couple of good videos on there. One is called The Republican Party, quote, The Change You Deserve. And also, Paris Hilton responds to the McCain ad. Have you seen that?
I have seen it, yeah. In fact, in the response, she's wearing a swimsuit by a Detroit designer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can we play this on the air? Maybe we can.
I don't know.
Let's.
Have you censored it?
Oh, she doesn't say anything.
Okay.
Does she?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyways, it's Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E.com. PeterWerby.com. So we'll see if this will play.
Exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
He's the oldest celebrity in the world. Like super old. Old enough to remember when dancing was a sin and beer was served in a bucket. But is he ready to leave?
This is McCain. Yeah.
Hey, America, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm a celebrity too. Only I'm not from the olden days, and I'm not promising change like that other guy. I'm just hot. But then that wrinkly white-haired guy used me in his campaign ad, which I guess means I'm running for president. So thanks for the endorsement, white-haired dude. And I want America to know that I'm, like, totally ready to lead. And now I want to present my energy policy for America. Just as soon as I finish reading this article on where I can fly to get the best tan.
Best tan. So that's on my side. It's funny. Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, PeterWerby.com.
I find her generally annoying, but I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Anyway, so where were we? So at 1 a.m. Eastern time, I don't even know if I ever got to this, a couple of special guests on China and the Olympics. Dave Zirin, who's the author of the brand new A People's History of Sports in the United States, 250 Years of Politics, Protests, People, and Play. And also Henry Rosemont, who I found out is actually the brother of a friend of mine. And now this does not, you think, wow, what is this doing on WRIF? A philosopher specializing in Chinese thought. You go,
Okay.
But it's actually an interesting interview. I wouldn't air it if I didn't think it was. All right, 313-298-WRIF. Let's see here. From Detroit, it is Maurice. Go ahead,
hey,
Maurice.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Maurice! How you doing, Peter and Julian? You know what? I was thinking about this missile defense shield.
Yeah.
The weight is almost like the Cuban Missile Crisis in reverse.
It is. He said it's like the Cuban. Maurice has not had a good phone for about 10 years.
Yeah, we were getting put together.
He said it's,
and buy him
that's
one.
That's a very astute
like the Cuban
observation.
Missile crisis
he says
in
like
reverse.
In reverse. Yeah, go ahead.
When Kennedy pulled back his stockade and let the Russians ship past the blockade, he made this country look weak in the world.
Wait a minute. He didn't let the missiles go through. The Soviets turned back because they knew that the brothers Kennedy would be willing to go for it.
Well, Kennedy stepped in, he pulled back his blockade, he let the ship come in for him to take the missiles out.
Oh, to take them out. That was the agreement. But the other thing was, and what people don't realize, that this is very similar, as you are noting, that the United States had all these missiles, these nuclear-tipped missiles around the Soviet Union, and I think in Turkey and places like that. And the Soviet Union thought, well, hey, we'll do the same thing because we're supposed to have nuclear parity, mutually assured destruction. Mad. And they all were. They all were mad. They all were quite crazy, including Kennedy. And when it came to this, they were going to destroy the world if it came down. They were going to start launching. I mean, if you haven't seen Dr. Strangelove in a while, go see it again. I just saw it. Got it from Netflix. That was the same deal. It's okay if we do it, but it's not okay if they do it. Maurice, thanks for bringing that up. That was a very, very good observation. Let's see, where are we here? Here's Paul in Detroit. Paul, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I pledge to put my lawn sign out that says Werby Jordan 2012.
I love it.
That's hilarious.
You actually can run as a atheist, such as myself as well, Mr. Werby.
Yeah.
That's your dad. That's his dad.
I'm sorry, yourself as well?
No, I was saying Mr. Werby is Peter's dad.
That's my dad.
I forgot. I heard that a long time ago. the Green Party, you can do that. And actually, a guy in California about 10 years ago named Eddie Tabash ran as the Democratic in the Democratic primary for governor and came in third as an open atheist.
Well, I don't think too many people care. And don't most Democrats at least think that Barack Obama is a hypocrite and that his religious beliefs aren't anywhere near as strong as he's asserting?
You're the second person I've heard in 2 days say the very same thing.
Yeah. I'm sort of mixed about some of these Republican frauds. I mean, they're frauds about almost everything else. You would think, isn't George Bush actually a fraud with all his professed religiosity and all that? But, I mean, the guy is so crazy that who knows? Maybe he really is as deep into all that stuff as he says. What about Darth Vader? You know, Dick Cheney, the guy who's virtually disappeared. I never hear anything about him in religion.
He definitely hangs with the fundies, but he's not ever seen in church. He doesn't make those religious declarations. And Karl Rove seems to be pretty much a person who's made some negative comments about the fundamentalist religious people as being nutcakes.
Huh.
Really?
Absolutely.
Because he's class one nutcake, yeah.
Yeah. Nutcake.
Well, you guys get my vote if you run for anything, and don't just think presidential. I mean, we need people in our state who are liberals to be in
liberals.
State representatives.
We're
right
much
now.
More radical than that. All right. Thank you, Paul.
We forgive you.
Right, right. And, oh, hey, Paul, I'm not putting together in my head. Tell me, because I spoke down at your rally.
That, yes, you did.
And it's what I don't want to.
DetroitLiberation.org. Okay. And it's May 2nd, 2009 at Grand Circus Park. And at the very same time, I'm holding a festival called Hempapalooza, and I'm trying to get Jack Harrar, author of Emperor Wears No Clothes, be there. Anybody who can make a donation through DetroitLiberation.org, I would appreciate it.
Jack Harrar, who wrote this incredible book called The Emperor Has No Clothes, which if you have any idea that there's some justification for anti-marijuana laws, you got to read this book. Jack Harrar, last I heard of him, and this was years and years ago, he was in ill health. Is he doing okay?
He's a lot better. He's been traveling a lot more, as I understand it, lately. I think Adam would be able to tell you a lot more about
it. This is Adam Brooke.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
All right. I'm going to see you, man. All right. Take it easy now. This is only for medical purposes, though. Well, there was two people that wanted... Oh, yeah, no, there's two people that want to talk about Ron Paul. This is Rick in Detroit, number one. Rick, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Nice to hear you again tonight.
Thank you.
You know, there is a movement within the Republican Party. The new blood of the Republican Party is out there to change it, to turn it around, to bring it back to true conservatism, which is, in a way, very liberal. We want the Bill of go back to the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, freedom of religion, even if you're Muslim, freedom for gay rights, sound currency, no manipulated markets, end the war on drugs, end the war on terror, end the Patriot Act, okay, and get back to true liberty in this country, okay? And that's Ron Paul's movement.
Rick, they're going to cut your legs off.
Okay, go ahead.
No. I'm saying the Republican Party, the establishment of the Republican Party, this far right wing authoritarian trend that's completely captured is going to cut your legs off.
That's neoconservatism, and it's not true conservatism, and it's given conservatism a total black eye and totally discounted us and discredited us, you know. And there is going to be Ron Paul is kicking off the campaign for liberty during the Republican convention in Minnesota.
Yeah, in Minneapolis, St. Paul. What is that going to consist of? I know he has rented space there.
It's basically a libertarian in the Republicans' clothing, I guess.
Sure.
A cheerleading session. Jesse Ventura is going to be there. Barry Goldwater Jr. is going to be there. Americans for Tax Reform. There's a couple of country stars that I'm not really interested in. Constitutional law expert Bruce Fein. I wouldn't be surprised if Chuck Baldwin from the Constitutional Party goes there. He introduced Ron Paul at the Revolution March in July, which I attended, which there was at least 10,000 of us and not one media camera, you know, mainstream
of course,
media camera
right.
there. So there is a movement to, you know, bring conservatism back to its what it was really about, ending wars, not having these entangling
alliances that Washington warned against. But how about this, Rick? What if we dropped all these labels like radical, that I often identify myself as, and liberal and conservative, and just worked out policies that were consistent with the Constitution and benefited the vast majority of the American people and the world, and just didn't put any big label on it?
That would be great if we could drop the labels and realize, you know, hey, we're all one people in this nation. We all have the same needs, wants, emotions, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we should work for what's good for all of us.
I agree. All right, thank you. Let me get your counterpart in Ann Arbor on the air. But let me tell you this. Actually, when you were saying, you're right. I did not even hear that 10,000 supporters of Ron Paul had assembled in Washington. But I was looking, and, you know, my printer cut off the far right of
go figure.
Of the printed page. But this is Venezuelans protest Chavez's new socialist push. This is about Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela. And it's about a march. And it says, and this was a big news story at Yahoo News from Associated Press. It says, riot police used tear gas Wednesday to block hundreds of Venezuelans protesting the latest moves by President Hugo Chavez to concentrate his power. Though the protests of about 1,000 people chanting freedom was small compared to past marches, and it goes on, for quite a while. Now, this is 1,000 people in a country thousands and thousands of miles away in South America.
Mm-hmm.
What, on the other hand, we, the Ron Paul people, the anti-war people, whoever, can bring the pro-choice people, can bring sometimes hundreds of thousands of people to Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing that the Associated Press and the New York Times and even National Public Radio, which we in times of stress call nationalistic either puppet or Pentagon radio,
right.
is substantially reduce the number of people that attend. And then put it away or somewhere where no one's going to read it, or don't even report on it at all. But here is this fairly small demonstration. Now, interestingly, although when I was in Caracas in, 2006, I attended and actually took some photographs that were published of this these native people who were protesting some Chavez policies about doing this industrial development in their state. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them as well. It was a very moving, very stirring demonstration. It was one that I agreed with. But at that time, the Chavez government was giving it a police escort and what have you. These people, though, it's not to say I don't have lots of criticisms of Chavez, but they want things to go back the way they were before the Chavez government, when it was run by this racket, much the way the U.S. is, by these two ruling parties, a liberal party and a conservative party, and they'd switch off, and people would get real tired of the liberals, and they'd put in the conservatives, and they'd get real tired of the conservatives and put in the liberals. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it was about maintaining the power of this elite and the common people be screwed. And so Chavez, whatever his failings may be, has broken that monopoly on power, has empowered lots of poor people, have been to the best that he can, has been giving people social programs, medicine, subsidized food, and all that. That means that their life doesn't have to be crap anymore.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know, that was about two subjects. All right, let's go to Reese in Ann Arbor, who wants to talk about Ron Paul as well. Reese, hi, it's Peter and Jalene. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Go ahead.
Well, I never actually heard you talk about Ron Paul before, and I've been calling for a long time. I was pretty surprised. And I was kind of curious because I know, like, foreign policy and all that, you guys really agree, but economics, I'm guessing you really probably don't agree that much.
I don't agree with him at all. I don't agree with his stance on abortion rights and what have you.
Exactly.
Because to me, in fact, I've said this any number of times, if the American people's, if they were polled and the concerns that we all have were represented by two candidates, there would be the Democrats would have nominated Dennis Kucinich, and the Republicans would nominate Ron Paul.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I would vote for Kucinich.
We get a lot of calls about Ron Paul.
Yeah. But he's popular, and, you know, I was going to back up the other guy, too, because, you know, you're talking about the Republican Party is they're going to cut our legs off, but I think we're going to cut their legs off. I mean, there's just nobody else wants to be a Republican. We're the only ones.
Well, you could be. You could be. How about maybe at some point, couldn't we just ditch these parties and take and get rid of all this big money? I mean, when you start reading I guess in July, that McSame and Obama have between them raised $100 million. And I hear, I guess it was McSame that said he's going to spend $60 million on TV ads, including ones during the Democratic convention.
There's another reason not to watch TV.
Oh, man. I mean, and you know, if you're trying to make sense, and unfortunately people do, people try to figure out who they're going to vote for by watching these ads. And of course, ads are all about manipulating people.
Yes.
And so rather than having a debate, you know, there's a book that it's called Amusing Ourselves to Death by a man named, what's his name, Neil Postman, like just like Postman. It's called Politics in the Age of Entertainment. And he describes this debate in 1858 between Abraham Lincoln and, I can't remember the first name, Douglas, his opponent. And what they did, and their audience in Illinois, I think it was for the Senate seat in Illinois at that time, they had an audience of hundreds, maybe even, you know, a couple thousand people, no microphones or anything like that, and each of them gave an hour presentation, an hour presentation in front of essentially, people that didn't have the kind of education that we have or the access to media. Then they went home for dinner. Mm-hmm. And they came back for half-hour rebuttals.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's where people should learn what it's about. And it doesn't matter the color of people's hair, the color of people's skin, or whether, you know, that someone's being too arrogant, or whether they're wearing bike shorts and, you know, windsurfing, or any of that stuff. I mean, that is just nutso stuff, and is just a product of people that are too wedded to television. Reese, I got to get a couple more calls. We're almost done with the show, so thank you for your comments. Here's Tim in Port Huron. Tim, hi, it's Peter and Jolene. Go ahead.
I haven't heard you guys talk about it at all tonight. Economy, I was trying to wonder where you guys' feelings are about who's got the best plan for it. I mean, everything else is tied. If the economy doesn't turn around, the country's going down the crapper.
Well, I don't call him John McSame for nothing. I don't know where, you know, he's going that's got anything any different, of course. So, you know, I it's hard to say. Their programs, their platforms, what are they really going to do? It's hard to say once they get in. I remember there was a guy, what was his name? George W. Bush. He said, I'm going to be the uniter. Remember that, like in 2000? He's going to unite all the American people. And he lost the popular vote. He squeaked in because his dad's pals in the Supreme Court said that he should. And so it was clear more than half the people that voted did not want him in as president of the United States. And rather than thinking, well, wait a minute, what I ought to have is sort of a unity, just like I promised, a unity government in a way of balancing the kind of political currents in this country. He immediately went for this far right-wing agenda of privileging the rich, destroying the living standards of the middle class and the working class. And I think John McSame will be exactly that.
Well, and he did do some uniting. He united a whole bunch of people against him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We got about a minute left for Todd from Southgate. We don't even have time to bring up
George Carlin.
Go ahead, tell me quick.
I got a question for you guys. Okay, a couple of years back, I believe, and I wish I had the name of the bill or whatever it was, but there was a bill that came through Senate, and Barack Obama signed on saying that it was okay for medical doctors to refuse medical treatment to babies that were born alive due to botched abortions. How can anybody who is a humanitarian, a human, vote or support somebody that is, I mean, evil? I'm going to call it what it is. It is pure evil.
Refusing
health
care.
What is
evil? Refusing medical treatment to a baby that was born alive.
But why was, okay, first of all, are we talking about back alley abortions here? I mean, really, I don't know of many botched abortions.
Nothing would surprise me. Any vote, any politician. But we'll look it up. Todd, I've got to end the show exactly now because...
And we're not trying to cut you off, Todd.
But we cut you off.
Bye. But we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we will. And... Yeah, all right. Eat the rich. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for joining us. Go to my website. A lot of great articles on there. Peter Werbe, WERBE.com. Julian, thank you very much. Yes. Al Slayer, thank you.
Thank you, Al.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more Night Call right after this.
This just in.
Free Gas Wednesday. All day this Wednesday. 101 WRIF and Bradley Diddle have your chance to win free gas.
Keep it locked on 101 The Riff for your shot at a $101 gas card.
Plus, you'll qualify for the grand prize, a Riff gas card valued at $1,000.
Don't forget Dr. David Bradley of Bradley Diddle is your expert in smile makeovers. Schedule your exam today, and Dr. Bradley will give you a $101 WRIF gas card at your visit.
It's Free Gas Wednesday. This Wednesday from Bradley Diddle and 101 WRIF.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? first, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code Cisco to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, Cisco, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try. Free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Your credit card debt is getting out of control. You're having trouble making the monthly minimums. Sound familiar? You have to do something, but what? Well, you don't have to file for bankruptcy. The mortgage brokers want you to put up your family home to pay off credit card debts. Problem is that more often than not, you find yourself using the credit cards again. Only this time there's no equity left in your home, and you have a whole new pile of credit card debt. It doesn't have to be this way. We're Credit Card Relief. We help people just like you get out of debt in months instead of years, and save you thousands of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. We're an attorney-driven program with an excellent reputation. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call 1-866-290-8282. 1-866-290-8282. Not available in all states. 1-866-290-8282.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8.05 a.m. And then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9.15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
A, B, C, D, D, I can't remember.
Poor nutrition in his first 5 years can limit memory development. Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. To find out more, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Bikers Wanted, The Riff, and Star Motorcycles by Yamaha have teamed up to give you Star Demo Days free weekend out this Saturday and Sunday at Mount Holly. Join WRIF's Ann Carlini live on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Live music from Soul Circus, The Unheard, and Matt Austin Saturday from 11 to 5. Free food and test drive the hottest Star motorcycles. Burn up their gas through the beautiful rolling hills of Holly, Michigan. Motorcycle endorsements are required and participants must sign up on site. Take a ride and receive free tickets to the Renaissance Festival, plus other Star and Yamaha giveaways like motorcycle jackets, hats, t-shirts, and more while supplies last. Don't miss this opportunity to see the all-new 2009 Star V-Max, one of only two in the country on display. With over 25 different bikes from 250cc's to 1900cc's, you can test drive the bike you've been dreaming about on Star Motorcycles Buck. Hey, you're not paying the gas, so take advantage of Star Motorcycles Demo Days this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Kick off your Labor Day festivities in style as you and your closest friends party with WRIF Live
from your backyard. An acoustic performance from Saving Able. Keep it locked in the Riff to win tickets for Saving Able. August 28th, the Clutch Cargos. Then, you and your friends could catch Saving Able before they rock Clutch Cargos in a private, intimate setting of, your place. We'll even bring the Hooters girls and some wings to get the party started. The Backyard Brouhaha with Saving Able from Mobile One, a T-Mobile exclusive dealer. For the location nearest you, go to mymobile1.com and 101 WRIF. Everything that sucks. Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
Thank you very much for joining me. Peter Werby here with you. Well, I don't think it's news to anybody that the Olympics are going on. And when I think about sports and I think about someone who gets below the surface of sports, that's where we all enjoy it. And ultimately, that's where it's all at, right? Or, I don't know, maybe ultimately it's all what's below it. In any event, when I want to think about sports and I want someone to help me think about sports, I turn to Dave Zirin. Dave Zirin is a sports writer and also broadcaster. The last time we spoke to him, it was about his book, Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. And he has a brand new book out now called People's History of Sports. It's published by New Press. It's just available now on Amazon. And Dave Zirin is in Washington, D.C. Dave, welcome back to the Peter Werby Show.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
Well, the Olympics, talk about society, the spectacle, huh? Man,
yeah.
quite an opening. You know, sometimes when we think about sports and people just passively sitting and watching them as opposed to being involved, these are ones really to sit back and passively watch the spectacle, don't you think?
Well, the spectacle certainly hasn't been boring. And I think we knew that going back a couple of years, that no matter what you would say about the Olympics in Beijing, it certainly would not be boring.
Yeah.
But what it has been as spectacle has also been, of course, there's been this ugly underbelly to it that has to do with both how China prepared for the Olympics and how I think the West really aided and abetted the Olympics going to Beijing in the first place. I mean, that's really the backdrop, which I think frames every moment of elation and athletic glory that we're going to see over the next couple of weeks.
Well, if you think back into history, oftentimes the Olympics have been in venues with the countries that were, let's say, problematic in terms of democratic values. I mean, back to 1936 in Nazi Germany or in the Soviet Union. So the fact that they're in China, we're supposed to be above all that, aren't we, for the Olympics?
Well, there is a very similar common thread, and this goes for whether the Olympics are in the United States or anywhere else, where you see a demolition of public housing to make way for Olympic facilities, where you see a crackdown on behalf of the police department for the International Olympic Committee to make a given city, really to cleanse it of any semblance of poverty or anything that would ruin a tourist good time for that week. And you also see, you know, a real corporate feeding frenzy, and that's been the case really since 1984 in Los Angeles, which were the first Olympics ever entirely unwritten privately. And these Olympics are, I think, all of those old situations that I just described, really on steroids, pardon the expression. China has just been, I mean, it's been a wild scene. I mean, they spent $42 billion on facilities and on anti-pollution measures for the Games. I mean, as a comparison, Greece in 2004 spent $9.5 billion, and that was wildly over budget.
Now, actually, China probably, well, I don't think it's any secret, has a twofold agenda. One, when you create infrastructure like that, you can use it after. But also, this was about selling China to the world, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really a dance with, you know, and it takes the old expression, it takes two to tango. Because the reason why the West really did push very ruthlessly to get the Olympics into Beijing, the reason why George W. Bush became the first U.S. president to ever attend the opening ceremonies at an Olympics on foreign soil, and, you know, really the reason why the IOC has lied to our faces over the last 7 years about, you know, advances in human rights that have been supposedly been taking place in China, I mean, is because Western corporations really want access to what they see as this incredibly vast, untapped market of consumers. I mean, 300 million people with disposable income who, as they say on Madison Avenue, they are unbranded, which is kind of a creepy phrase. They're unbranded.
Yeah.
and which means that they don't have they have not yet developed brand loyalty, which means it's a race between Pepsi and Coke, McDonald's and Burger King, to see who can generate brand loyalty first and fastest.
Well, you know, it's always a mix, and you use the phrase a dance, between people, I suspect, from what I know of you and what you've written, Dave Zirin, between understanding what's beneath a lot of it, which is the backstory, which is often very ugly and about greed and about manipulation, but and the front story, these amazing, almost all young people that have taken their bodies and their skills and their sport and taken it to lengths that we couldn't even imagine. I mean, Michael Phelps, absolutely incredible.
It's remarkable. And, you know, I am from the D.C., Maryland area. Michael Phelps is a local guy around here. My brother-in-law was in swimming club with him when Phelps was, I think, 10 or 11 years old. And I can tell you from my brother-in-law that Michael Phelps does not, in fact, have gills, and he is not part dolphin. So just to clear those rumors up.
What's it say, though, that he, what does he do, that he swims, eats, and sleeps, right?
Yeah, I mean, what he does is he has a superhuman ability to stay underwater about 2 seconds longer than everybody else. And he executes this bizarre dolphin kick that nobody can match. And he's a machine out there. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It is absolutely remarkable to see athletes perform at the top of their sport. And that's really, to me, the most laudable thing about the Olympics, is that every 2 years, every 4 years, you get to actually air out the sports atmosphere a little bit. I mean, so much of the sports media is dominated by baseball, basketball, football, some days NASCAR, golf. And this is an opportunity for us to get into sports like handball or synchronized diving has been something I've really enjoyed watching.
That's amazing. Hey, let me just back up on handball, since I've played American English handball, which is in a court, and essentially it's racquetball, which you have to play ambidextrously and without a racket. But that's not the kind of handball in the Olympics. Now, they're eliminating softball. Is it because they don't think that many people play it? But how many people play Olympic handball?
Well, that's the thing, and the elimination of softball, I mean, I think there's a general belief that it's just too narrow in terms of not just who plays softball, but the amount of infrastructure and coaching that it takes to then create a viable softball program. I mean, handball is, in a lot of ways, a very egalitarian sport.
Sort of like lacrosse without whatever they use in lacrosse.
Yeah, without the just incredible equipment that it goes into lacrosse. I mean, handball, there's less of that, and it's also you don't need as much of just a team infrastructure to make it a reality. And it would be a shame to have softball on the chopping block, because that is that rarest of sports that gives women athletes a real chance to shine, and we've had some real superstars certainly come out of this area over the last 10, 12 years.
Well, Dave Zirin, I mentioned your last book, Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. And a lot of times when we speak, we talk about the first two, the pain and the politics, because that usually goes unsaid. As I said earlier, using that current cliche, that's the back story. But someone like yourself who loves sports and loves to watch teams and individuals do what they do best, does one get in the way of the other? I mean, does the fact that NBC has sold, what, $1.5 billion worth of ads or whatever, does that interfere with your capacity to enjoy what's going on?
I'll be honest with you. With the Olympics, it's more difficult than most sports, most events, to separate it. I mean, there are ways when it's just sort of a regular team sport, or a regular individual sport for that matter. It's like you can separate the commercialism from the joy and athleticism that you see. With the Olympics, it's a little harder, because you have that extra layer of nationalism that's on top of it as well, and this idea that it's country against country. And you have the ugly spectacle recently where the Chinese gymnasts beat the U.S. gymnasts, women, in the all-around. And to have the U.S. Really the de facto coaches, the Carolis, Martha and Bella Caroli, within minutes of China winning, like calling the Chinese women gymnasts, Bella Caroli called them half people.
Oh.
Because they're claiming that they're too young and they violate age statutes, and the U.S. media has picked that up, and it's turned into quite the ugly row. And forgetting about whether or not their charges are true or not, I mean, the idea that the Carollis would be the people to speak out about the exploitation of children and young gymnasts when their record is so abhorrent when it comes to how they treat young girls as they develop through their program. I mean, it's just something that's disgusting. And you know there's this huge slather of nationalism that that's not just about who won and who lost. It's about they're going after China. China's going after them. Or when you have the Spanish basketball team posing with their hands on their eyes, looking like they have slanted eyes, which they thought would be very funny. I mean, this is the thing that makes it more difficult for me to separate the pain, the politics, and the promise of sports when it comes to the Olympic Games.
I should tell people that you're listening to the Peter Werby Show, and my guest is Dave Zirin, whose new book, People's History of Sports, is available from New Press. Its publication date isn't quite here, but it's available on Amazon. And we are recording this on the Wednesday before the Sunday you're listening to this. So if any of this has been resolved, it's because of that. I'm looking at Yahoo News, and I can't get into this right now, and also I have a coherent interview with you. But it says Spanish response to photo that the teammates talk about the inflammatory image that has offended many. Did you see their response at all? Were they contrite?
No, they're not contrite. They think that they're being slimed and that they didn't do anything wrong. And one of the things that makes it even a little bit more bizarre is that a Chinese shoe company is helping sponsor the Spanish team. And there's also talk that they just say, hey, we were just doing an ad for our shoe company.
Well, it's so bizarre because racial characteristics, which are unattractive in one culture, are the ones that are beautiful, and some Asians think we look bug-eyed, right?
Because exactly, round eye.
Big round eyes, wow, you know, but whatever. You know, what has happened, though? I remember when I was a kid, they always used to remind us that this wasn't nation against nation, that it was individuals, but then they would always kind of tally up the gold and silver and bronze medals, but now it's like, it's nation against nation.
Yeah, and I was hoping at the end of the Cold War that that would tamp down a little bit, but that just has not been the case. And one of the things that's going to be interesting this year is that I think China has a real shot to actually win more United States for the first time, and that'll be very interesting to see how NBC covers that, because we've been talking about how NBC, they sold them $1.8 billion in ads. There's a lot of concern that, you know, they have these news people over there as well, people like Matt Lauer, who are ostensibly part of their news department, which, of course, raises the issue, well, if sports and politics shouldn't mix, why are people like Matt Lauer and Tom Brokaw commenting on the Olympics? So just food for thought there. But it also raises this issue of General Electric, which not only independently of NBC, they own NBC, of course, and General Electric is also one of the top eight sponsors of the games, and General Electric has helped supply a lot of the security infrastructure for Beijing. I mean, we talked about the $42 billion that's gone into the games. General Electric has helped supply a lot of the 300,000 closed-circuit cameras. I mean, that's just, think about that number for a second. 300,000 closed-circuit cameras that are going into creating really a surveillance state over the course of the games.
Yeah, at some point, as much as I've enjoyed watching them so far, the sports that I have, I think, geez, is this all worth it? But I guess that it, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of profit going on, and we're certainly enjoying it as spectators. But, are you, Dave Zirin, and me, are we just curmudgeons? Should we take this for granted that this is life in capitalist society and everything's bought and sold?
Well, we could, but then we can't challenge it to change. And I think that's the most important thing, because these things aren't static. It's not just that sports is a profit machine that grinds up athletes and tries to sell us products. It's that historically, sometimes these situations are better or they're worse, like how women athletes are treated, how women gymnasts are treated, whether or not nationalism is particularly pronounced or not. how political leaders try to exploit the games and sports in particular for their own benefit. I mean, I just feel like we can have something to say about that, that is a really clear message that we're not the curmudgeons here, because we're the people who want our sports a la carte. We're the people who want our sports in the purest form and not encircled in all this bombast.
Well, let's do this, because and maybe we can intertwine more talk about the Olympics as we go on, because I'm very excited. I don't have a copy yet of your brand-new book, People's History of Sports. New Press is the publisher. It's available on Amazon. And I should have been saying right along that you can go to Dave Zirin's website, edgeofsports.com. Edgeofsports.com. There'll also be a link at my website, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com. Obviously, the title, People's History of Sports, references the famous history book of the United States, A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. I mean, I assume this was done purposely on your part.
Well, yeah, actually, Howard Zinn is the honorary editor of the book. It's
really?
Part of the Howard Zinn People's History series. I'm very proud to be associated with that. I mean, there's other books, People's History of the American Revolution, People's History of the Civil War. This is different. It's a People's History of Sports in the United States. And I think that, you know, for me, as for so many of us, Howard Zinn was my history teacher.
Sure.
Even though I'd never sat in a classroom with him. And that means that I really wanted a book written in the tradition of Howard Zinn, like a book about sports from the perspective of athlete activists, and also trying to put in the ground once and for all this idea that sports and politics have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, and if there are people out there listening and don't know of the work of Howard Zinn, Z-I-N-N, just do a Google on it or go into any bookstore in the world, probably. Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States, if you sell a history book and it's not being used for a class and you sell 20,000, boy, you are right up there. Howard Zinn's, trying to think the last time I talked to him, I think it was 1.5 million copies of his book has been
remarkable.
And then there's Voices of a People's History of the United States and all these attendant aspects like Dave Zirin's People's History of Sports. Give me an idea. Something popped to my mind, but tell me what we would read that we wouldn't read in a usually. Is this a history of sports throughout United States history?
Yeah, throughout U.S. history. And it really tries to break down the history of sports into three parts. I mean, there's the part of the history of sports where sports in this country was really viewed as sin, you know, as something that would tear down this new nation of ours. And then there's something that was really at the margins of society, something that was even outlaw. And then there's that part of our history where sports started to become incorporated into this idea that the 20th century would become this new American century, this idea that we would be entering a period of muscular Christianity, and also how sports was then used to try to tame a very disruptive situation in our cities with regards to immigrant life, urban protests, strikes, and the rest of it. And then I also go through the history of the activist athlete, like the idea that there have been people throughout history who tried to use sports as a platform to try to speak out about ideas about which concern them.
Remind
about
us of
which,
the, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say, remind us of the latter. Who would be involved in sports people?
Oh, my God. Well, I go through each decade in the 20th century, chapter by chapter. So we go through everybody from people that you've heard of, like people, of course, but hopefully stories you haven't heard. About people like Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Billie Jean King, Jim Brown, Bill Russell. But we also try to talk about people you may not have heard of, like Moses Fleetwood Walker, or some of the great journalists in the 1930s who worked for the African-American press, as well as the radical press, who fought to integrate Major League Baseball.
Oh. Yeah, boy, this is maybe I'm giving too much of this away. I'd like to do a whole show. Maybe we can put a couple of weeks in between. I know, and I don't know whether you have this in your book or not, but where the Detroit Tigers played for, the old ballpark at one time was called Briggs Stadium. It was owned by the owner, Briggs Manufacturing. That was a UAW organized plant. And whenever there was a strike, and he wouldn't settle because he hated unions and always wanted, well, hated unions. So the UAW would come down to Briggs Stadium and picket the ballpark, you know, telling people don't go in there while our strike is going on. And of course, in those days, back in the 30s, a lot more of it would be honored than probably would be today.
Oh, I wish I had that story in the book. Hopefully we could do a volume two and I can get that in there.
Well, you could probably do, if you think about it, I mean, in America's, American history intertwined with sports, you could probably do volumes 3, 4, 5, and 6.
At least.
Well, let's just go back a little to where we started talking about the Olympics. And that is that you said that the reason that President, boy, I'm getting some interference on this end. I don't know if you're hearing that, but we will continue with Dave Zirin.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Good. We don't edit. We don't edit.
I don't know what happened there.
No, no editing. That you said that the West was anxious to present China in the best light possible because of the desire to open these enormous markets that China represents. On the other hand, there's fear of China being this dominant power. Certainly, we're in hock. You and me and the rest of us, thanks to George W., are in hock to the Chinese bank. We're paying interest on the debt every time something's taken out of our paycheck. They must have an ambivalence towards China, though.
Yeah, I describe it in some of my writings on this as a push-pull relationship. Because it's on the one hand, the U.S. economy is so intertwined with the Chinese economy that it wants these Olympics to succeed, because if the Chinese economy goes down, it's mutually assured destruction at this point. And the U.S. corporations, they want to actually narrow that trade deficit where the U.S. buys Chinese products but China doesn't buy U.S. products, or at least the imbalance is just profound. And what they're looking to do is for these Olympics to try to get more of a foothold, a business foothold in the country. So there's that on the one hand. But on the other hand, exactly what you said, China is also the number one U.S. economic competitor. China has become the banker of last resort for the United States. China has very friendly relationships with nations like Iran that the U.S. does not want, that the U.S. is trying to isolate as opposed to connect with the international community. So this is a very complicated push-pull relationship. And I think that's why a lot of U.S. athletes, certainly publicly and some of the ones I've talked to, have gotten very, very mixed messages from the United States Olympic Committee about whether or not they have basic First Amendment rights when they're in China. I mean, they're hearing both, do not embarrass us, do not speak out on foreign soil, you're an athlete, not a politician. But on the other hand, they're also hearing, hey, if you want to say something, that's your right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a huge debate going on between Jacques Roger, the head of the IOC, and Jacques Roger, the head of the IOC, because they've said completely opposite things on this question within days of each other.
Remind people just a little bit of history when people have spoken out at the Olympics. Most famous, I guess, was 1968, right?
Certainly 1968 with Tommy Smith and John Carlos, although they weren't the only athletes involved in what was called the Olympic Project for Human Rights, trying to raise awareness in Mexico City about the plight of African Americans in the United States, about the absence of African American coaches, about South Africa and Rhodesia fielding Olympic teams, even though they were apartheid countries. So they were trying to raise a host of issues. And that's the Olympics have traditionally been a platform for dissent for a very simple reason, and that's that there is something called the Olympic Charter and also something called the Olympic Movement that gives a lot of lip service to speaking to the best angels of our nature and using sports as a way to connect us and to create a more peaceful, just world. And, of course, there's a contradiction between that Olympic movement and that Olympic charter and all matter of villains and brigands who are both on the International Olympic Committee as well as in terms of a lot of the nations, as you mentioned early on, that host the games.
Yeah, and also, of course, China supplies weapons to Sudan, another agreed.
That's a big issue that a lot of athletes have wanted to speak out about.
But no one has so far, right?
Well, a group of athletes, I mean, this is part of the problem, and it's very frustrating for me, because a lot of athletes have tried, but when you have NBC doing the coverage, it just doesn't get the publicity. And it's a little bit maddening to me, because you have people taking all these risks to use their platform, and then they're meeting this great wall of silence. I mean, you had a group of about 40 athletes submit a letter to China asking them to cut down on human rights abuses and also to end their practice of the death penalty. And this letter was signed by both U.S. athletes and Cuban athletes, which could not have made either George W. Bush or the Castro family very happy to see their athletes come together and sign that, particularly since, of course, George W. Bush loves the death penalty the way, you know, I love Chinese food. I mean, it's just something that they, that he just relishes. So this is a bit of a problem here. And, but the fact that they took the step to send such a letter is something that I think should be on the front page of the New York Times.
Sure. Well, we're out of time. Dave Zirin, time always goes by so quickly. Dave's brand new book is People's History of Sports. Is it A People's History or just People's?
It's A People's History of Sports in the United States.
Oh, I didn't give its whole title then. A People's History of Sports in the United States. It's published by New Press. Best thing to do, go to edgeofsports.com. You can connect to Dave's books, his daily work on there, and also how to get just a great view of sports. That's why I did this program with Dave Zirin. Always a pleasure, Dave. Thanks for joining me on the Peter Werbe Show.
Oh, thanks so much, Peter. My privilege.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with another guest right after this. Weekday nights at 10 with Meltdown. It's like getting hit in the head by a 2x4. With a nail in it. Mandatory Metallica. Now, it's your triple play of the mighty Metallica. With a big unit. Every weekday night at 10. Exclusively from your one and only Metallica station. 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks. Your neighborhood Glendale Auto Supply wants to help get your car or boat ready for the rigors of summer with their Saturday 1010 oil change special. Every Saturday, WRIF listeners can receive a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Offer available 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at all 6 Glendale Auto Supply locations. Just mention you heard this on 101 WRIF and get a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Find out why over 400 local repair shops choose Glendale Auto Supply when they need parts. Maybe it's time you find out what the pros know. A premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Exclusively for WRIF listeners, Saturdays at Glendale Auto Supply with 6 convenient locations throughout Metro Detroit. Located in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or log on at GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code Cisco to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, Cisco, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code Cisco, WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Do you owe the IRS $15,000 or more in back taxes? Are you worried about wage garnishments, bank levies, and IRS seizures? Call American Tax Relief. If you qualify, now you could settle your tax debts for less than you owe. Just call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief has helped thousands of honest, hardworking Americans settle their tax debts for less, stop garnishments and levies, and remove penalties and interest. Their staff of experts will work hard to get you the best possible settlement you qualify for. With experienced, knowledgeable professionals on your side, you can save money as well as time and stress. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief can help you get the fresh start you're looking for. Call right now. 800-493-8159. That's 800-493-8159.
Energy Honking Team, get in that house and waste some energy.
No problem. It's got leaky windows and no attic insulation.
This house is under attack by energy hogs. They show up anywhere energy's wasted.
The washer, it's not Energy Star rated.
You have the power to get rid of energy hogs.
Someone's home!
He's got energy efficient light bulbs.
Go to energyhog.org for fun games and lots of hog-busting tips.
Energyhog.org? That's it! Get out of there!
Wait for me!
Brought to you by the Alliance to Save Energy, the Department of Energy, and the Ad Council.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Ah, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This 38-year-old man may sound a little strange to you and me. But to his 2-year-old son who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car.
Yes, it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car.
Yes, the man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Here's the address for my new free comic activity book.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It shows kids what to know about guns and drugs and bullies and strangers. And it's got games and puzzles, too. Write it down now.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
You waited in line.
Woohoo!
Camped out for days.
Yeah, I got a tent and snacks!
All just to be the first to get the new Apple iPhone 3G.
Yeah!
Which is promptly followed by another million or so iPhone 3G sold online.
Wait, what?
To people who value little things like a comfy bed,
dude,
and daily showers,
dude,
so they don't reek.
You're so crushing my joy, bro.
But hey, you did get it first.
Yeah, chicks are gonna dig that!
Okay, don't push your luck. Look on the bright side. You can put that new iPhone to a really good use. Log on to WRIF.com and you can stream the Riff Live from anywhere in the freaking world on your totally awesome,
yeah,
brand spanking new
Woo-hoo!
Apple iPhone 3G.
Dude, that rock!
Yeah! Now do us all a favor. Take a shower.
Dude!
On your radio, on your computer, and now on your brand new iPhone 3G. Log on and listen worldwide at WRIF.com.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Peter Werby here with you. And we're going to continue our discussion about China. We were just speaking with Dave Zirin, who was talking about the Olympics. Dave Zirin, the great American sports writer. And now we're going to turn to China itself. Our guest is Henry Rosemont, and Henry Rosemont just recently retired, but he's also the visiting scholar at the Department of Religion at Brown University in Rhode Island, and we reach him there. Henry Rosemont, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
It's nice to be with you.
And you were telling me you have a Michigan-Detroit area connection as well.
Yes, my first teaching job was at Oakland University, all the way back to 1965, more years ago than I care to remember, but I spent four very nice years there at Oakland when it was still a branch of Michigan State, and I did some political work in Pontiac, Michigan during the heyday of the civil rights activities there. I have very pleasant memories of Oakland County, Detroit, and the whole area.
And you said actually that was quite an experience on the day of Martin Luther King's assassination.
Yes, I was in the YMCA in Pontiac, which is in the African-American neighborhood there. We were doing some planning about linking the African-American community much more closely with the university. And when the news came out, and then I was quietly, obviously, escorted home. A deep pallor hung over everybody, black and white alike, although at the time I was the only white in the building.
Well, let's.
But except for those kind of nightmares. That nightmare, though, I have very pleasant memories of my work with the people of Pontiac and at Oakland.
Well, tell us, you're a philosopher specializing in Chinese thought, and you've written the book A Chinese Mirror, Moral Reflections on Political Economy. You've also done translations of Chinese classics, so I assume that you're fluent in Chinese, and you've lived in China, correct?
Yeah, so we lived there altogether about 4 years. I taught at a major university in Shanghai as a Fulbrighter for a number of years in the early 80s and into the then again in the mid-90s. And I go back in the summers to teach some graduate seminars.
And you, trying to get an impression of China from either, I suppose it's hard in both regard, either staying at home like someone like myself and most of us, and reading about it, watching what's happening there on television, but also living there. What does that provide you as a look at the culture and at the country?
Well, you get a sense of it. It doesn't come quickly. I probably learned five times as much the second year that was there, probably 83, 84, than the first year, 82, 83, because some of the newness had worn off and I was able to look a little more deeply. But it's still a very, very large country with diverse cultures, with people with very diverse hopes and fears. And so generalizing, you have to do it, but it's still, you do it with a great deal of humility all the time. It's a very old, very venerable, very complex place and cultural tradition. I just have to tread slowly. And as soon as you make a generalization, you have to back off from it a bit.
Well, most Americans, I think, and I'm looking into my own mind, and I think it's the picture is negative, that you have this society that seems almost out of control, but has the political leadership trying to exert great control.
Yes, it's there are a large number of stereotypes that are very, very hard to break for a number of reasons, because they've been promulgated by missionaries, diplomats, and even a number of scholars. You made reference to the title of one of my books, A Chinese Mirror. I use that title for two reasons, very specifically, one of which is obviously to study another culture. It eventually becomes a mirror of your own, and you learn a lot about your own culture when you study intently another culture. But the other is a Chinese mirror. The word Chinese in a number of complex phrases stands for something that is kind of silly or wrong-headed. A Chinese mirror is a distorted mirror, just like a Chinese screwdriver is a hammer. And a Chinese fire drill is kind of a waste of time running around the automobile. A Chinese flush is all red cards and poker. You notice there's a kind of steady pattern of kind of derogatory use of using Chinese as an adjective. And the older members of your reader, listenership there will remember the famous Ripley's Believe It or Not. If the Chinese marched four abreast around the equator, they would never stop. And that kind of picture of the enormity of the place kind of overwhelms. Plus, what appears to a lot of people to be a great deal of conformity. We champion individualism and the freedom, going out, go west, young man, shake off the shackles of the past, and so on. And the Chinese seem very, very different, and in that way, scary. So it's very hard to get rid of those negative pictures. And it's even been, the negative pictures have even been maintained by a large number of progressive people, not just lone reactionaries or virulent anti-communists.
Well, tell me a little more what you're saying. I mean, I guess I have pretty negative view of the country, an authoritarian police state government, repressive towards minorities, not this essentially, self-described communist, yet for all practical purpose seems like a capitalist country in the 19th century.
Yes, in many respects, a large number of Chinese have all the worst elements of a communist state and the worst elements of a capitalist state and the advantages of neither one, and I really feel sorry. And that might be as many as a half a billion people. Not everyone would agree with me on that, but that would be my own view. It has a lot of problems, but if you put them in context, you will see things differently. The government has eased up. Its human rights record is much better than it was a decade ago. It is fairly well capable now of feeding its own people and clothing them and housing them. The discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots is just horrible, but that is in part the government's inability to check some of the runaway capitalism. It does not have the power that people tend to think it has. On the one hand, if the Chinese government wants to get Joe Blow, they can certainly do it. In the same way, if the Central Intelligence Agency or the FBI decide they want to harass Peter Werby, they can very definitely do it. But even in this very different kind of society, George Bush, or any president, cannot get 300 million Americans to do what he might like them to do, any more than Hu Jintao can get 1.3 billion Chinese to do what he might like them to do. It's just not possible. Well, there's this huge, if you think about the fact that the Brown versus Board of Education was passed in 1954, and one of the best police forces, communication system, transportation, by 1979, Mississippi still hadn't gotten that decision. So if you put things in context like that, you'll get a somewhat different picture of China. I think if Hu Jintao is a praying man, I don't believe he is, but I suspect his nighttime prayer would go something like this. Dear Lord, please give me one-fifth of the ability to directly influence the lives of 1.35 billion people, as the American media tend to portray me as having. That's a small part of the puzzle.
Joining me on the Peter Werbe Show is Henry Rosemont, and we're talking about China. He's the author of A Chinese Mirror, Moral Reflections on Political Economy. Pardon me. One sees China, well, here's China described as a communist country, but certainly it has every aspect of a capitalist country.
Yes, it definitely does. And the worst kind of capitalist, not even anymore a welfare state capitalism, it's a laissez-faire capitalism, nice guys finish last, devil take the hindmost, and all that kind of thing. The government's finally getting worried about the incredible discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots. In my Chinese Mirror, I said the pace of modernization that they were kicking up in the late 1990s couldn't be maintained. I was just flat wrong. They have done it. I didn't have any idea how much they would allow the exploitation of labor, though, and the degradation of the environment to go forward, and they have done that. And they are realizing now that that's been a huge price that they are going to have to begin paying and paying off in spades. And so I don't see the economic growth growing in quite the same way in the future unless they can harness, come into the high-tech materials more swiftly. They are trying to make inroads. The emission standards for automobiles is now much stricter in China than it is, and they are in the United States. Enforcing them, though, is very difficult, as is the most. The corruption in China is very, very bad. When you hear about the protests, and there are numerous protests in China all the time, they are for things like pensions not being paid because the bureaucracy has kept the money and invested it in some scheme, or because remittances are not being sent home from the workers who have left the countryside to work in construction in the city, part of the floating population. Or when the people who have been moved from an urban area to make way for a new development or a new shopping mall or something like that are put in substandard housing because so much of the money has been skimmed off by the bureaucrats who are supposed to build the decent housing. That's what the people are upset with. There are relatively few protests about we want more democracy. What they want is more of a fair deal from a government that they don't love but certainly don't hate either and are anxious to get out from under.
And on one hand, it does seem to be like a model of 19th century American capitalism. Everything you said, the corruption, the runaway industrialism, the lack of attention to the disparity of income, the just a hundred other things. And yet there was reform, whether that's going to remain, what has been fought for the last 100 years or more, is something to be seen here in the United States. But there were tremendous reforms in all of those regard. But I wonder if China can do this, whether there is the room within the, for instance, just within the environment. If we start talking about 300, 400, 500 million more people becoming consumers at the level that we are, I don't think the Earth can handle it.
No, it's right. It can't do that. And it makes the problem of dealing with corruption very difficult, too. I'll come back to the notion of the environment in a moment. But people have thought there's an expression called guanxi. It's kind of relationships, who members of your family, members of your local community, where your parents came from. And it's kind of, it works with the idea of corruption. It's one of the major factors of dealing with corruption that leads to it. At the same time, the most benevolent and efficient Chinese government would not be able to provide adequate social services for 1.5 billion people, and one of the other institutions that can take over some of those functions are families and communities. And so how do you get rid of the corrupting elements of these relationships while keeping the good ones? Virtually every choice that the Chinese government has to make is between a rock and a hard place. One-fifth of their waters are their rivers are declared by their own hydrologists to be class 5, which means too toxic to touch. Not too toxic to drink, too toxic to touch. You can get burns on your fingers by putting them in there. There's sometimes hundreds of mile stretches of some of the rivers where there's absolutely nothing alive in. And that, on the one hand, has to be cured. That has to be stopped. But it's gonna, some price is going to have to be paid for it. The government, I say, is aware of these now, and I see some signs, slight signs, that things are beginning to improve. How much they improve and how rapidly they improve is partially dependent on the United States. How much the United States tries to be helpful, how much it tries to be belligerent and aggressive, tell them what to do. And that while we're looking at the United States, we must also keep in mind that a number of the Chinese would have liked to have put up, hostels, inexpensive hostels in the early 1980s. I talked about this with my Chinese friends a lot, so that Americans could come in relatively inexpensively in large numbers to be tourists in China. But that didn't happen. Everything that went up is a 4 or 5 star hotel. We know why that's so, because Holiday Inn and Marriott and so on don't want inexpensive hostels. They want 4 and 5 stars hotels. And that was the condition under which they agreed to do the building in China. Now, there are reasons why. Obviously, the Chinese government should have had Vespa instead of Volkswagen and Buick investing heavy duty. But Vespa didn't have the resources, and Volkswagen and Buick did.
Well, Henry Rosemont, in part of your writing about this very episode, about instead of creating these inexpensive hostels where people could stay and foreigners would be welcome in an inexpensive way, you also have the phrase, in keeping with the egalitarianism the government supposedly championed. Is there a point at which the ideal of communism was dropped and instead, modernism or modernization, I suppose would be a better word, modernization or just political rule became their...
Yeah. Well, the Chinese government lost a good deal of its moral authority during the Cultural Revolution. It was a very, very bad time. Almost no one wants to return to that, virtually no one. And it lost its moral authority in the June 4th crackdown, the Tiananmen massacre. At the same time, though, the Communist Party was never seen significantly for its politics or its morality. It was seen as the liberator of China, and that's something most of us in the West have a hard time thinking about. We gloss over the slaves we brought here. We gloss over the Indians we killed. We think about the brave, our founding fathers, fighting the Revolutionary War, fighting for freedom and independence, and we have a glorious past. The Chinese don't have the same kind of past for the last 400 years. They've had to deal with the imperialists. It wasn't until 8 years ago that the last foreigners left Chinese soil when Macau was finally turned over in 1999, 2 years after Hong Kong. The Chinese had big celebrations after that. And a part of what you're seeing with the beginning of the Olympics now is Chinese pride in taking a place in the world stage. This is a very old and venerable civilization that had been greatly humiliated for 4 centuries. And it's because the government is bringing this off, an awful lot of people are not going to complain about that government.
Humiliated by the West.
Yes. They're just... going to tolerate the government. Obviously, they don't like the draconian measures that the government uses on a large number of occasions. Nobody would want to do that. It can be effective depending on what you're doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you take the Chinese past into context, plus the lack of any tradition of democracy in China, and the fact that most of the dissidents, the Democrats, are usually linked closely to the West and therefore seen as just further embarrassing the Chinese themselves. Patriotism is strong. Sometimes it's so strong the government doesn't like it itself. It didn't mind the rising up of the the spy plane incident, the nationalism there, but it had to damp down the nationalism that rose up after the U.S. bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, because it was starting to get a little bit out of hand. Nationalism is something that's sometimes hard to restrain. It's not nationalism, though, as we tend to think of it in terms of Latin America or some of the Islamic countries. It's simply a pride that goes back a long, long way in Chinese history, and the Chinese are just very glad again to have begun taking their place in the world.
Our guest is Henry Rosemont on the Peter Werbe Show. We have a few minutes left with him. You mentioned the Cultural Revolution. We were talking earlier about stereotypes about China, and most people would think Cultural Revolution, yeah, wasn't that something like what Pol Pot did in Cambodia? Yet you say that it was successful in many respects.
It was respectful in the sense that, with respect to agriculture, I take my cue from William Hinton, the great kind of Quaker agriculturalist from Pennsylvania, who spent a lot of time with Chinese. He wrote the very famous book, Fan Shen, Revolution in the Chinese Village. He said better than a third of the communes were greatly successful. About a quarter of them were not successful, and the rest of them were just kind of the run of the mill. But it was on the basis of enough of them being successful, the Chinese were able to do away with grain coupons and food coupons. That is, it was by the mid-19... it was the basis of the Cultural Revolution, formed the economic basis for the four modernizations to be able to take place when Deng Xiaoping came back to power in 1978. It could not have been done before. We didn't make much notice of it then in those days, but the Chinese government stopped issuing grain coupons and clothing coupons for the first time in a long, long time, having confidence that it could there was enough food and clothing for everyone in the country. And therefore, they could begin taking off in a way that was more difficult to do before in toward the four modernizations. That's in no way to detract or minimize the horrors of the Cultural Revolution, but I would put that in context, too. A very large number of those horrors were perpetrated just wildly with absolutely no government control over them whatsoever. But no Chinese that I know wants a return to any of those. Virtually every Chinese was embarrassed by those, either for being beaten or for being beaters, or for being both beaters and beaten, depending on which year. It was a time that my wife and I came to the conclusion that we could not adequately describe, that the psychological categories in the discipline of psychology were not adequate to explain the Chinese phenomena.
You talk about inequality being stark and worsening in China, and
yes.
I guess I was particularly struck by suicide among women in China. Maybe you could just speak briefly about that.
It is, well, the life of women in China, in rural China, is very, very bad. Anywhere from 125 to about 175 or 80 million, 180 million men have left to take jobs in the cities, largely on construction. They are woefully underpaid. They have no benefits. It's hard to bring their families with them to send them to school. They don't have access to that. They send remittances back, but the remittances don't always get there. But even when they do, life in the countryside is still very, very bleak, boring. And the women are responsible for planting the crops with almost nothing in the way of a labor-saving devices. They're responsible for taking care of the children and seeing that they get to school. They're responsible for all the old people. And they have very little money to do any of those things with because the men are gone. That's the reason why one of the uses for pesticides is to ingest it quickly, because it's the most painless way for the women to commit suicide.
Wow.
It's the only country in the world where more women commit suicide than men.
Just maybe a brief note. I introduced you as a philosopher specializing in Chinese thought, and you had translated lots of Chinese classics. And I think people probably don't realize how many Chinese philosophers they know, at least three, Lao Tzu and Confucius and Sun Tzu. If I'm saying any of those names even close.
No, you're close. You're very close.
Yeah.
Sun Tzu, the Art of War, Sun Tzu?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Exactly. That's probably in some ways the best known, or the Tao Te Ching from Lao Tzu. But are the translations, are these purely academic, or are these have, do you think, popular application to us? I mean, is there much that the ordinary person could learn from reading your translations?
Well, I would certainly hope so. He's altogether immodestly. Yes, I think you learn a lot, good deal about China by studying, especially the Analects, even more. The Lao Tzu, of course, is a book that everybody, the Tao Te Ching, everybody loves that, and they should. It's kind of a delightful communitarian anarchist orientation, and nature-loving. Confucianism is the most social of all philosophies ever. But you can learn a great deal about the Chinese concern with history, with ritual, with protocol, with etiquette, and so on, in a good way, by reading the Analects of Confucius. And I also would argue that Confucius has a lot to teach us today.
Is China our enemy? I mean, certainly there's this love-hate relationship between the country. They're financing us. We import a tremendous amount of their goods. On the other hand, just recently, China was projected by the U.S. Pentagon as being a potential enemy in the future.
Yeah, there are reasons for that. One doesn't have to be a Sun Tzu or a von Clausewitz to know that aircraft carriers and nuclear submarines aren't much of a defense against idealistic 20-year-old Muslim jihadis who are willing to strap IEDs to their waist. And therefore, if you're going to justify continuing to make these aircraft carriers, nuclear submarines, F-18s, and so on, you need an enemy. And Russia won't do it anymore, obviously. Cuba is going to be hard put to live filth the bill. And what does that leave? It leaves China. The people, the news media make a great deal of the fact that China's defense budget has quadrupled in the last 6 years. What they don't add on is it's now about 7% of the U.S. budget.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of discrepancy.
Yeah, you have a whole list here, too, which I thought was quite striking. Well, for one thing, this all has to fuel the American and military-industrial complex. So you say that the U.S. has 12 aircraft carriers, China has none. The U.S. has over 700 military bases outside of its borders, China has none. 250,000 U.S. military are stationed overseas, China has none. And strikingly, China, a nuclear power, has 100 to 400 nuclear weapons. The United States has 10,000. It would seem that China probably fears the U.S. more than the other way around.
Yes, if you know even a minimal amount about having to do with warfare, yes, you would be much more, you would tell the Chinese they have much more reason to be afraid of us than the other way around, you know, especially the adventurism of Iraq, of Afghanistan, and before that of Panama, and bombing Libya, bombing Kenya. Wherever we go, we don't seem to mind being aggressive, and the Chinese do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Henry Rosemont. There, I will have on my website, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, a link to a recent article by Henry Rosemont. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for listening to Night Call on 101 WRIF. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WRIF Radio. Now, stay tuned for more Riff Rock on 101 WRIF Detroit. Kick off your Labor Day festivities in style as you and your closest friends party with WRIF Live from your backyard with an acoustic performance from Saving Abel. Keep it locked on the Riff to win tickets for Saving Abel. August 28th at Clutch Cargos. Then, you and your friends could catch Saving Abel before they rock Clutch Cargos in a private, intimate setting of, your place. We'll even bring the Hooters girls and some wings to get the party started. The Backyard Brouhaha with Saving Abel from Mobile One, a T-Mobile exclusive dealer. For the location nearest you, go to mymobile1.com and 101 WRIF. Everything that.
This is my car.
My car?
I don't know how I lived without it.
Muscle car fanatics. Join the RIP Cyber Crew for free today at WRIF.com and get signed up for the RIP Muscle Car Club. Get special invitations for upcoming WRIF Muscle Car Club events with a chance to win best in show, best paint, best engine, and best interior. One lucky RIP Muscle Car Club member will be front and center with a RIF at the 2009 Autorama. Sign up now with the RIP Cyber Crew at WRIF.com. It's totally free. The WRIF Muscle Car Club. Brought to you by Glendale Auto Supply. Shop a real auto parts store at 101.
Your neighborhood Glendale Auto Supply wants to help get your car or boat ready for the rigors of summer with their Saturday 1010 oil change special. Every Saturday, WRIF listeners can receive a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Offer available 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at all 6 Glendale Auto Supply locations. Just mention you heard this on 101 WRIF and get a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Find out why over 400 local repair shops choose Glendale Auto Supply when they need parts. Maybe it's time you find out what the pros know. A premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Exclusively for WRIF listeners, Saturdays at Glendale Auto Supply with 6 convenient locations throughout Metro Detroit. Located in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or log on at GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
The party always starts at the Barnstormer in Whitmore Lake, where beer is way cheaper than gas. Get 25-cent drafts with your purchase of dinner Tuesdays through Thursdays. Every Wednesday, high performance and muscle car nights, sponsored by Deptula Racing. Drag on down to the Barnstormer for winter sausage coney specials, drink specials, and the chance to win a dyno test. Harman Kardon Infotainment brings the sound. Enter the Barnstormer's karaoke contest with nightly prizes. Thursdays, get high on the hog at the Barnstormer's bike night. Right over from your favorite club or Harley-Davidson dealers such as Motor City, Brighton, or American Harley. Enjoy live classic rock music on the Tiki Bar with Buck 75 domestic long necks. There's food specials on the grill and drink specials all evening, and bikers walk right in free. Friday and Saturday, dance to the awesome sounds of DJ Woody and host Chega Man. The Barnstormer, located on M36 just west of US 23 in Whitmore Lake. For more info, call 734-449-0040 or log on barnstormerbanquet.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in